I will now call the meeting to order. Please note that assistive listening devices in the council chamber are available upon request from staff in the clerk's office or from down on my immediate left here tonight. I will now ask Councillor Innes to start the meeting with a prayer and have asked everybody after that to join us in the national anthem.
Grant us, O God, perception and patience that justice, truth, and honesty may be evident in our planning and our governing. Make us aware of the needs of each part of this town of Caledon. Save us from parochialism that divides and so create in us a desire for progress and responsible action that all our words and deeds may be in accord with thy will to the glory of the holy name. Amen.
Thank you. I would like to begin to acknowledge the land on which we gather, which forms the town of Caledon as part of the Agentis Treaty Lands, the territory of the Mississaugas of the New Credit. We acknowledge all Indigenous people who have walked this land in the past and who walk it today. We are grateful to have the opportunity to live and work on this land, and by doing so, we give the respect to our First Nations. Is there any disclosure of pecuniary interest? Councillor Downey.
Thank you. Through you, Mayor Thompson, I'd just like to declare an item 6.2 Planning and Development Committee report as the item. There's an item within that report. My in-laws are the applicants. Thank you.
Okay. Councillor Innes.
Thank you. I'd like to declare pecuniary interest on item 6.1 as my father owns land adjacent to the proposed development.
Okay. All right. No further, I will now move on to the confirmation of minutes for the meeting held April 30th, 2019. Moved by Councillor Rosa, second by Councillor Kiernan, that April 30th, 2019 council meeting minutes be approved. All in favor? Carried. Any urgent business matters? Councillor Sinclair. Moved by Councillor Sinclair, second by Councillor Rosa, that section 7.4, the procedural bylaw, be waived to permit a motion without notice regarding installing traffic barricades in the Forks of the Credit area until the end of the Fall Colors program. Also, we'll need 2/3 of a vote, correct? So, all in favor? It's carried. So I'll bring forward the motion. Moved by Councillor Sinclair, second by Councillor Rosa, where large volumes of excursionist traffic from big urban areas of the Greater Toronto Area is no longer confined to Fall Colour tours and is now experienced every fine weekend and holiday weekends along the escarpment areas in Ward 1, Caledon. Whereas Google somehow placed a map marker in Bell Fountain on dead ends of Scott Street and Bell Fountain, not at the intersection of the forks of the Credit Road, Bush Street and Old Main Street, causing severe traffic visits to this very narrow road, diminishing the use and the enjoyment of the properties and the deterioration of the road surface. Whereas the River Road in Bell Fountain is a narrow given road servicing a few residents, is also experiencing a large number of excursionist cars, parked cars. Whereas Dominion Road, a narrow and dead-end road servicing 22 residents off the forks of the Credit Road, is also experiencing large numbers of excursionist cars exploring the area, causing cars to turn around in residents' driveways, diminishing the use of enjoyment of properties. Whereas Bell Fountain Community Organization, the residents of Scott Street, Dominion Road, have expressed repeated requests to the Ward 1 councillors for traffic control barricades. Now, therefore, be resolved that traffic barricades accompanied with road local traffic signs only be installed at the entrance of Scott Street Road, Dominion Road, as soon as possible, as the residents are unable to enjoy the use and enjoyment of their lands, and that traffic control barricades be left in place until the end of Fall Colors Program 2019. Mr. Sinclair, you want to speak to this?
Yes, please. What we're finding along the escarpment area, and maybe also being experienced in Terracotta, but certainly in Bell Fountain and down the forks and into Brimstone, which is a historic hamlet on a now dead-end Dominion Road. And every nice weekend now, they're getting swarmed by traffic from people doing the Sunday drive all the time now. And so they're choking Bell Fountain with parked cars, trying to find places to get out of their vehicles, but there's simply no room in Bell Fountain. There's a gorge on one side, wetlands on the south, and the river valley on the north. So there's nowhere to expand and provide any extra parking. And then on Dominion Road, it's a little dead-end narrow road, and it's been the subject of an environmental assessment. So it's down to a lane and a half to get in and out. And because the river is carrying away the embankment, so that the residents are facing a lot of nuisance traffic, not doing anything as part of the community. And certainly it came up at our coffee with council at Bell Fountain recently as a big issue. So this is an attempt to put at least three barriers up now until the end of the Fall Colors program. And for those that don't know, Fall Colors was a program started about 18, 20 years ago. And we found the Forks of Credit was becoming so popular in leaf peepers in the fall that you couldn't get emergency vehicles in or out. And people were getting stuck in a traffic jam. It took me an hour to get from the first line, the 3 miles to Bell Fountain at a Thanksgiving weekend, and I'll never do that again. So we set up a program of using auxiliary police and putting barricades up here and there, and at that time published a map showing people where porta potties were and where Forks of Credit Park was, so that they could get out and had suitable parking. So this is a cry for help that has come from certainly Lynn Kiernan and myself, constituents, and I think Alan heard the same message. So that's what this is all about. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Kiernan.
Thank you. Through you, Mr. Mayor. It is important that we extend this far beyond the Fall Colors program. Councillor Sinclair and I have talked about this. The other factor that has to be looked at, really, to bring this forward today is, or to have these signs placed immediately, is Dominion Road, especially in Brimstone, is a dead end. There's no exit, but it's also part of the Bruce Trail. So you have a lot of hikers, a lot of people on that road, and then cars coming down, someone's going to get hurt. So even from a safety perspective, this has to be extended to be a seasonal, right from the beginning of May 2-4, I would say, right down to the end of the fall season. And so it's important that we get some support on this. Thank you.
Okay. No further questions? All in favor? Carried. I will now go to delegations, and before I do, I want to make a couple of comments, if I could. Before we go to the first delegation on this issue, I want to thank everyone who took time to reach out to me and other members of council, whether in person, by email, by phone, and those that came out to the Coffee with Council sessions in the public meeting last August. I put the motion forward because I was urged by many residents as well as businesses. The issue of the safety in Bolton downtown core is not about the average speed. It's not about the average driver that's causing the problem. It's the one-offs and the distracted driving. This morning, 6:45, we had another issue in the downtown Bolton core. Thankfully, nobody was hurt. Just imagine, though, if that was through midday when we have kids and people down in that area. So I'm just saying that maybe the cars parked along that street would encourage people to pay closer attention and navigate around them and would act as a barrier for situations like this. Who knows? Even consider maybe making this a community safety zone. This is why I'm encouraging everybody. I welcome it, and I ask for a healthy and respectable debate. There's very difference of opinions here that will be discussed, but I want everybody to respect everybody's opinion. Everybody has a right to have an opinion and have a say. Having said that, I will now call upon Angela Mathachi to come forward to the podium to provide a delegation concerning May 21st, 2019 motion regarding all-day parking, one-year pilot program, Queen Street. Please note, in accordance with the procedural bylaw, you have 10 minutes for your delegation. And members of council may have questions for Ms. Panacci. I will ask at the end.
Can I get some? If I have a USB, can I put it or pictures? Is there a USB port for pictures? Okay. That was my question. Good evening, Council and Mayor.
Yeah.
My name is Angela Panacci, and I live at 6901 Castle Dirk Side Road. I'm a Ward 4 resident. I'm one street past Columbia Way from the boundaries of Ward 5. I'm here on a couple of counts. I'm here as a past candidate for Ward 5 Regional Councillor. I'm here as a concerned citizen, and I'm here as a mother. I'm compelled to be here because there's a lot of information that has been around social media and also with the Coffee with Council meetings. When I spoke to a mom who was holding her little guy, he must have been 2, and she shared her concerns with me about how she lives in the valley, downtown core, and how she's really scared for her son's lives. I tend to come to a lot of the council meetings, but I don't tend to speak a lot. I just like to observe and learn. But as a mother and as a resident and as someone who is totally committed to her community, even though I don't live in sleep in Ward 5, I consider it part of my community. I'm a mother of 3 sons, and my oldest spends a lot of time right at the King Street and Queen Street area. One of his besties is there, so he rides his bicycle there a lot. I have a 5-year-old and a 10-year-old who loves to go to Happy Days. So to me, this is very personal. This is beyond the politics. This is beyond anything else, but really as a concerned citizen. If we cannot defend public safety, if we are more scared of angry people, of losing votes, then I fear that the effectiveness of getting things done for the community is questionable. Why wouldn't we want our community safer? I'm going to start by saying that public safety, protecting the lives of children, families, seniors, should not be political, nor should it be made political. It should not be ignored nor delayed. there's more than enough data to substantiate and support that this pilot is long overdue. Here are some data. Here are some facts. The Bolton Master Transportation Plan was released in 2015. The plan was a collaborative effort between the Town of Caledon, the Region of Peel, MMM Consulting Group, and the general public. The public was involved. And I'm just going to give you some dates that are found in the 2015 Master Transportation Plan that's on public information. So May 2014, there was an online questionnaire that was made available to members of the public, 70 respondents, with 80% living in Bolton and the majority being commuters. You can see that in the consultation summary in the Bolton Master Plan, pages 7 and 8. June 11, 2014, there was a workshop where there were 25 people attended. June 25, 2014, Public Information Center, first one, where 37 people attended. June 22, 2015, where there was another workshop, 11 people attended. June 22, 2015, a Public Information Center, where 70 people attended. And all this is online. It's in your Bolton Master Transportation Plan study. And here on May 28th, I would like to submit for the public record 87 signatures that were collected over the last 4 days of people supporting the pilot program and all-day parking. Thank you. The ultimate recommendation for the downtown vision is to implement all-day parking on Queen Street in the downtown core, as per the Bolton Master Transportation Plan. See page 33. Section 12.0. Now let's read what the master plan says with respect to the future of downtown. In section 11.4, page 29, it says the preferred master transportation plan alternative is an agent for change in the downtown, helping to transition the downtown from a transit conduit, which to me is code for just thorough traffic, to a people-friendly place where customers and the general public, meaning all of us, want to be. The downtown streetscape has safety in mind. Now let's continue with some facts, because I know we're all talking about data and we all want data. So let's continue with the data and the facts. Between 2016 and 2018, there were 53 collisions in the corner of Queen and King. That means that on average, in 48 months, there was one accident per month. Those are facts, that's data from the police. I would say that one accident per month in the same intersection in a small town like ours should be raising alarms, should be prompting those elected leaders in all of council to do something about it. It is May 2019, and things continue to get worse, and we're still discussing, having a Facebook conversations, having discussions that are leading to divisiveness and disrespectful and not being conducive to anything that is positive. Not collaboration, not good sense of conversation, but instead things that are not contributing to making this a better place, but instead of just delaying it. We have two groups, which I think that if we had the right conversations, we can all come to a consensus. We have those living in the valley and those commuting through the valley. I was a commuter. My commute time was an hour and a half each way, 3 hours a day commuting. I know what it feels and I know what it means to want to get home. But at this point in this process, I think that safety trumps our commute times, because we're also protecting and wanting to protect those behind the wheel. We want to protect the children. We want to protect the seniors. We want to protect those in our community. And it saddens me to see neighbors being pit against each other, because we should be coming together and understanding each other's needs and compromising. But let's continue with the facts. Between April 15th and today, May 28th, there have been four collisions. Actually, five now, because there was another accident just recently at Temperance and King. But let's talk about this famous picture which unfortunately I can't put. It's the red picture. It's the red car. Everybody has seen this picture, I'm sure.
So this is the iconic picture, the iconic red car picture. So I'm just going to cut it this way.
Two girls, 14 and 16, were walking from Tim Hortons, were almost hit in this collision. They heard the tires squealing. This is the report from the Caledon Enterprise. The older teen pulled her friend out of the way, and she was touched by the car. She was touched by the car, even though the newspaper doesn't report that. I wonder if those asking for more data, I wonder those of us or those complaining about the commute time, if they would feel the same way if those were their two daughters that almost got hit. Because this is how we need to look at it. I wonder how many lives need to be lost in order to be convinced that this is a problem and that safety trumps convenience, and we must deter speed in this crucial area. It takes courage in my mind, and I have no problem and thanking you for the courage when you make courageous decisions that are difficult, that perhaps are not the most popular, that perhaps are not the easiest. Because in your position, it takes courage. It takes courage to do the right thing, because this should not be a popularity vote. This should be a vote to do the right thing for the community. Now, let's talk about some comments that have been said about an overwhelming opposition to all-day parking from the Bolton community. Even if that is true, which is not, you as council and elected leaders have a responsibility to do what's right for the community and not allow popularity votes put the Bolton downtown core population at risk. Because, okay. So I ask you to have the courage. I have more, but I don't know if I have permission to go further. I ask you to please make the right choice, to do the right thing for the people, for everyone in the community of Bolton. And as a mother, I ask you to please, to put safety first, versus convenience. I thank you for your courage. I thank you for your consideration. Have a great evening.
Thank you, Ms. Panacci. I see no further questions, so thank you so much.
Thank you.
Now I'll call on Rob Mizzapelli, as he is representing Jimmy Putney, to approach the podium and provide a delegation concerning the May 21st notice of motion regarding all-day parking one-year pilot program, Queen Street. Please know, accordance to the procedural bylaw, provide you with 10 minutes for your delegation.
Thank you, Mayor Thompson, and members of council. Jimmy Pountney would be here this evening, but he does have clients at his workplace that does not allow him to be here, so I'm speaking on his behalf. And these are his words. I'm speaking this evening in support of the motion brought forward by Mayor Thompson. I would like to take a moment to introduce myself and my contributions in regard to the subject matter this evening. My name is Jimmy Pountney. 24 years ago, I moved to Bolton from Streetsville. I've been a downtown business owner, along with my wife, for a little over 22 years now. 8 years ago, I moved my business and home to Queen Street. And with the addition of our daughter, downtown Bolton is not only where we work, but also where my family calls home. A successful live-work arrangement. Needless to say, the state of downtown Bolton means everything to me. Our family loves living in the valley. You get the best of all worlds, a little bit of urban meets rural, the beautiful Humber River, heritage architecture, and most importantly, what brings life to concrete areas, people. It is the very component that makes the valley special. I can't help but remember when I first moved to Bolton, how cute I thought the town was to me. It was like an undiscovered gem, a diamond in the rough. With a little spit and shine, it could be perfect. My involvement over the past 10 years was really inspired by this last statement. Instead of waiting for change, I decided why not to get involved in making positive change happen. One of the first things I did was engage with the Bolton BIA. I remember attending a few meetings when I first opened my business, and ironically, one of those meetings pertained to parking on Queen Street. The region and the town presented a 3-month pilot project to remove parking during rush hour 19 years ago to the business owners with the promise of once a bypass was built, full-time parking would be reinstated. 19 years ago, I can't help but laugh that as I type this, not only did it take this long to get a bypass, but that we're still discussing it. At the meeting, there had been no discussion over financial impacts to businesses, business owners, or property owners. Traffic volume data was the only data provided to business owners, like it was their problem. And while this was being present by individuals who make a weekly salary, I have to ask, how did this impact a business such as a variety store? You would have to think a business like this on the east side of Queen Street would be the busiest during the evening rush hours. In the past 19 years since all-day parking was removed, downtown Bolton has become more car-centric, and it's no wonder why. Shouldn't we have budgeted better for a bypass and built it sooner? Shouldn't we have done an economic report that looked into the financial impacts to business and property owners, or even an urban planning study that might have helped with the situation 19 years ago? It is frustrating for me that much of the data and conversation concerning all-day parking is focused on traffic data. How do we get away from being a car-centric as a community if all we bring to the table is car-centric data information? In my research, are you aware in Orangeville commercial properties sell for 15 to 20% more on Broadway than on Queen Street? Are you also aware that rental income is 25 to 30% higher on Broadway than Queen Street? And yet a typical subdivision home sells for 10 to 15% higher here in Bolton. Why? A current example on Queen Street has a property a few doors over from mine listed for over a year sitting empty. Originally listed at $640,000, it was reduced to $600,000 and sat for several months. The current price is now $575,000 and yes, still waits a new buyer. Modal transportation designed or pedestrian-friendly areas have proven to be more economically viable, not only in Ontario, but around North America. So why is Bolton unique in this change? Customers of mine and residents, not only during last year's election, but for several years, have brought forward complaints about how the area looks and concerns for safety. So why are we not listening? In 2015, the region decided to make a change through the core, removing all heavy truck traffic through King and Queen. And while it was part of a stage three of a transportation master plan that was mentioned earlier, the timing of the change was not based on data or the study, but by two horrific dump truck accidents within 3 months of each other. Timing under the study had removing of the trucks in an additional year, and with consideration of only removing trucks from north-south traffic and leaving the east and west. I bring this up because, like many of us, the perception is that a severe injury or worse, a fatality, has to happen before change comes. Concerns were brought up in 2010 with a North Hill residents group in regards to the area of Bolton Heights and Highway 50. Comments related to child safety and high speeds. Posted speeds of 70 kilometers an hour, no street lights, pedestrian signal timing that didn't reflect pedestrian use, and no sidewalks are no conditions for an area that has residential, ball diamonds, skate park, schools, and a community center. Almost a year after, there was a horrific accident where, unfortunately, two young pedestrians were struck. This was an unfortunate situation waiting to happen. However, look at the change that occurred after the fact. With recent traffic accidents in the downtown core, which by now I'm sure you are well aware, I have to ask, are we waiting for the same thing to happen? What the pictures of the accident at the Four Corners with the red car do not show is that the two young girls standing at the same point of where the car ended up, two girls who went to the dance studio to get an ice cap from Tim's and then returned to dance. Now ask yourself, what if they were your children? How would you feel? All three accidents over a five-day period had an element of speed to them, regardless of who was at fault. The driving culture through the core has been obnoxious and fast for several years, especially during hometown commute and even in the later hours. Ask any business or owner or resident who lives in the area, and they will tell you the same. Even leading into stores of how they've been hit or nearly hit by a vehicle crossing the road, the events are real and no longer hypothetical. And my hopes are that you are listening to the signals and taking past unfortunate events to be proactive and not reactive. While a decision tonight might appear to be divisive between residents of the North Hill and the Valley or politically motivated, this simply is not true. And while my interest in designing an area that is safe and provides opportunity for business growth might appear to be self-serving, as a business owner, trust me, after 22 years, I am doing well, thanks to my great clients. And as for parking, well, my parking lot in the back has more than enough parking. The only motive I have here is as a dad to a six-year-old daughter, to my family. And that said, we would sure like to finish the day and go for a stroll, look at the beautiful shops and storefronts, maybe even chat with whomever we pass. On my closing thoughts, sift through what appears to be the concerns of commuter times from others and the pressures that come with it versus people's safety and a vibrant business core that functions well. And while I've read the reports from emergency services, I do have a few questions. Maybe we could ask how other communities provide emergency services in pedestrian-friendly communities. I am sure the other places that I have referred to have not put response times at risk. I'm confident in our emergency service members that solutions are there, and that traffic staff and the same ones that control traffic across Mississauga and Brampton can handle all our small little town of Bolton. If I could kindly recommend one thing to add to this motion, it would be that an education and an awareness campaign accompany the pilot, focused on communities that commute through Bolton, to let them know about the bypass and encourage them to take it. Lastly, although I have every confidence all-day parking will be successful, I will ultimately allow downtown and allow Bolton to ultimately reach its potential, creating a core that is vibrant, attractive, safe, inviting, and business supportive, if given the chance. I ask that you support the 12-month pilot for all-day parking. Thank you for the opportunity. Sincerely, Jimmy Pounding.
Thank you, Rob. There's no further questions, but thank you very much. I understand there was a delegation request received after the addendum was produced. In order to hear the next delegation, I require a motion to waive Section 8.9 of the procedural bylaw to permit an emergency delegation to be heard. So I have moved by Councillor Sinclair, second by Councillor Rosa, that Section 8.9 of the procedural bylaw be waived to permit an emergency delegation to be heard. Jerry Gorman regarding all-day parking, street parking, one-year pilot program, Queen Street. All in favor? Carried. Okay. Sorry, Rob, I thought you were just speaking on behalf of Jim and not you, but I'm going to, since we've done this, I'll bring Mr. Gorman and allow you to be the cleanup guy, okay? All right, Mr. Gorman? Please come forward. As you know, you have 10 minutes. You're well aware of what we do, so.
Mr. Mayor and councillors, my name is Jerry Gorman. I live at 78 King Street West, which is a few minutes away from Queen Street. After living in downtown Bolton for 48 years, I've seen significant changes in traffic, especially with respect to the occurrence of accidents caused by oversized trucks and speeding drivers. And I can tell you we still have trucks on Queen Street as well as King Street. I can personally attest to the fact that there has been a trend to more frequent serious mishaps on Queen Street in recent years. I will relate a personal example describing my own close encounter with a reckless driver while waiting to use the designated crosswalk at Queen Street and Stern. It was mid-morning and the flow of traffic was temporarily held up by a northbound vehicle on Queen Street waiting to make a left turn at Stern. An impatient driver rushed up behind the vehicle and without pausing or slowing down, dodged to the right into the curb lane, virtually in my face. I was traumatized by the realization of how close a call I had just had. A child waiting at this crosswalk might have strayed to the very edge of the curb with dire results. Now, I wrote this a couple of days ago, and even today in the news, apparently a four-year-old child somehow got off the curb and was run down by a motorcycle. This was the kind of experience that I had standing at the crosswalk with that little blockage there where you push the button and a clear space in front of me, waiting for the light. It was quite a surprise when this guy just came shooting through and then dodged back into traffic. So it was just a U-ey in, out, and right past me. With full-time curb lane parking, this jackrabbit-type driving I would expect would not take place. This is but one of the many serious traffic episodes caused by traffic speeding through the downtown on what should be a pedestrian-friendly commercial shopping district. As someone living in the Bolton Core and directly affected by traffic on Queen Street, establishing full-time downtown on-street parking is of great importance to me. I would even go so far as to suggest that it should be made permanent if we are to support the rebirth of a vibrant downtown commercial heritage conservation district. I would recommend that it should even be implemented on both sides of Queen Street eventually. I urge you to vote in support of the motion to establish full-time parking on Queen Street in the downtown core. Thank you.
Thank you. There's no further questions, but thank you very much, Mr. Gorman. I will now call on Rob Mizzapelli. Come forward, and you have 10 minutes.
Thank you, Mayor Thompson. I'm wondering if I could use the overhead and speak from there with your permission. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Good evening, Mayor Thompson and members of council. My name is Rob Mizzapelli. I am a Bolton resident for 23 years, a former Bolton area councillor for 8 years, and a professional firefighter in the City of Toronto, currently in my 25th year of service. I'm here to offer my strong support for the motion you have before you concerning returning all-day parking to downtown Bolton. When considering all aspects and implications, quite simply, it is the right thing to do. I want to provide some clarity and a more broader perspective to illustrate why Council should support this motion. Let's start with the bigger picture of what this is all about. Actually, let me start by saying what this is not about. This is not about politics or sour grapes or interpersonal differences, period, full stop. I want to make that clear. I have been very clear that and very consistent that the only reason I support returning all-day parking and the need to have it to attain the ultimate vision for the core is because overall, considering all the pros and cons, it is the right thing to do and will improve the core as well as Bolton and all of Caledon. I want, what motivates me is to have less articles like this and this about accidents like this and this and of this morning, this, and less and talk more and plan more for a community that looks like this. Although this motion is entitled Returning All-Day Parking to Downtown Bolton, it is about so much more. It is a critical and required next step to a recommended phased approach to returning Bolton to Bolton and to Caledon to make it more of a local and complete street, more of a place to drive and bike and walk to, and less of a place simply to drive through. This is the comprehensive bigger picture, creating a core
that is more focused on visiting, living, and shopping in an environment that is inviting, safe, and attractive. This is not a lofty pie-in-the-sky vision. It is a transformation that many communities around us have done with very successful outcomes. This vision is not something that just was conjured up out of the blue. Indeed, it is a common vision for downtown that a number of different multi-year studies commissioned by the town and or the region support, including the Bolton Heritage Conservation District, the Queen Street Corridor Study, even a study focused on transportation, the Bolton Transportation Master Plan, recommends a core that is more focused on people and less on cars. If you look at each of these studies, you will notice two things amongst others. One, public engagement and participation. And secondly, a specific attention paid to the downtown core separate from the rest of the community, as it is a significant and a distinct place unto itself. Downtown is the core of Bolton, and we should do all we can to keep, to help make it the best that it can be by fulfilling the vision our community and multiple studies have recommended. Some may argue that a public meeting held in August of 2018 expressed opposition to implementing all-day parking, and therefore we should not move forward. I disagree. Although most of those that attended, there was approximately 50 or so, most were opposed, and most who spoke certainly were opposed. I do know personally as an attendee that there were others that were there that supported returning all-day parking but chose not to speak. I also know that there have been many expressions of support on social media, petitions, etc., as you've received tonight, not to mention the hundreds of people who have participated in the studies cited above. Should not they too be heard? Lastly, concerning that meeting, it would be unfair to say that the concerns expressed have not been considered. Two changes I would like to point out since that meeting that have been made is that what we are looking at today is a 12-month pilot. Secondly, the feedback from emergency services, as in your correspondence and your agenda, has been given. Regarding the emergency services responses that I have seen, none are opposed to moving ahead. I want to repeat that. None of the emergency services responses are opposed to the pilot going ahead and see no significant impacts to response times. This was a key concern raised at that meeting. As a driver of large fire trucks on much more congested areas for over 20 years, I can personally attest how effectively emergency vehicles can respond during peak volumes, utilizing traffic light controls, emergency lights, sirens, air horns, as well as permissions given for emergency responses under the Highway Traffic Act. Some may argue that this congestion will be untenable, and this is why the pilot should not move ahead. What I can say is that during the 8 months in 2017, while the region was doing major water main, road, and bridge work on Queen Street, that more than mimicked all-day parking. The impacts of this project on traffic was minor in nature, indicating many were redirected onto the bypass. I want to put this up here. The top graph shows the volumes on Queen Street. The line indicates when the bypass was installed. You can see a significant drop to volumes that are below 2012. And the bottom graph is the Emmel-Cold Parkway. And concurrently, or you can see the increase in volume. It's important to note that collectively, the volumes north-south have gone up year over year. But at the same time, we have reduced volumes on Queen Street, which is a great benefit to our community. The region's modeling predicts that most of the impacts on travel times will be in the weekday afternoons going northbound. It predicts travel times will increase by less than 50 seconds through the Bolton core. It would actually be improved north and south of the core in Bolton as other drivers would be choosing to take the bypass and not Queen Street. So to reiterate, this isn't about creating more convenient access to parking. It's also about controlling speeds and traffic movements. It's also about moving people onto the bypass that should be taking it. It's also about supporting local businesses And it's also about creating a core that is more vibrant, attractive, safe, welcoming, and multimodal friendly. Like this. Who wouldn't want a core that was all of this? The parking restrictions need to be lifted for all of these things to occur. I encourage Council to move forward with the motion as written. There are no needs whatsoever for referring or deferring this. Do not accept any 11th hour alternative solutions that have not gone through the rigors of due process and public consultation that the recommendations of this plan have. The work has been done. The recommendations have been made. Concerns have been heard and addressed. The phased approach for implementation has already begun, and the next step is to re-implement all-day parking. I also would not support amending the motion to the point of diluting the intent of the motion. A 12-month period is a very reasonable time frame to allow the change to express itself through all the seasons and to allow time for the effects to be most fully expressed and understood. The motion does speak to monitoring the impacts on traffic, residents, and businesses, which is a very comprehensive matrix to study over the 12-month pilot. The only thing I might add, similar to Mr. Pountney, is to engage in an awareness campaign directed at communities that should be taking the bypass of what we are doing and encourage them to take it. I thank Council for your time and consideration and would humbly ask for a recorded vote on this matter. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And there's no further questions, so thank you very much, Mr. Mizzapelli. Now going on to committee recommendations. The following recommendations are from the General Committee meeting report, May 21st, 2019. Moved by Councillor DeBoer, second by Councillor Kiernan, that May 21st, 2019 General Committee meeting report recommendation regarding the following consent items be adopted. Staff report 2019-56, 2019 property tax rates. Staff report 2019-71, noise exemption for Cheers Caledon designation as municipal significant event. Staff report 2019-68, 2019 community green fund recommendations. Accessibility advisory committee meeting minutes dated May 6, 2019. Alternate members to regional council. All in favor? Carried. Moved by Councillor DeBoer, second by Councillor Kiernan, that May 21st General Committee report recommendation for all-day street parking one-year pilot program street be adopted. Councillor Groves.
Thank you, Mayor Thompson. As I wasn't here last time when this motion was brought forward, I just have a few comments to make. First of all, one, I really am disappointed, Mayor Thompson, that before you brought the motion forward, you had no conversation with Councillor Rosa and I as the two councillors for that area. This has been an issue in Bolton, not just since last term, but for a number of years in Bolton. It would have been the right thing to do, the proper thing to do, to consult with Councillor Rosa and I before this motion was brought forward. One of the delegates spoke about divisiveness. Well, I think that this motion, the way it was brought forward, created divisiveness amongst us and amongst the community. This, I want to make sure that on record, that in no way that I do not, and I'm certain Councillor Rosso feels the same, we do not support the safety of our residents. We all support the safety of our residents. This is not a problem that just occurs downtown Bolton. This is throughout the entire community. It's driver behavior. People need to recognize that they're driving through neighborhoods and they need to slow down. We've got issues on Highway 50 going southbound, right along Highway 50 from southbound to northbound. I've worked very tirelessly with regional staff on addressing some of these safety concerns on Highway 50. Regional staff came up with a report that talked about Vision Zero, where they are looking at implementation of a number of safety measures on Highway 50 going southbound, because a lot of occurrences happen south of Mayfield Road. We do have a problem in the downtown core, but again, we have it everywhere in Bolton. My thoughts on this would have been the better way to do this. We should have really what we needed to do was sit down with staff at the region, staff here at the town, in our traffic and engineering department, because I'm certain there are a number of solutions that we could find. Without looking at the implementation of all-day parking as the be-all and the end-all, that's going to solve all the issues downtown. With respect to the revitalization of downtown Bolton, I have been a strong advocate for this. I worked with the BIA many years ago to bring in the CIP program. A number of businesses has taken advantage of that program. We worked on getting exemptions of development charges, and I know that that was discussed last week, to help with the revitalization of downtown Bolton. So all-day parking is not going to be the one thing that speaks to the revitalization or help with the revitalization of downtown Bolton. There are a number of comments that were taken from the Bolton Transportation Master Plan. And when this was written, this was in 2015. They had a number of meetings. I understand that, but there are a number of assumptions made in the Bolton Transportation Master Plan that really things have changed from then to now. A few things that were mentioned on page 16 with respect to the GTA West Corridor. The Bolton Transportation Master Plan suggests that this would be in place by 2031. Well, I have news for us. Ain't gonna happen. The newly elected provincial government just reinstated the EA process, but I will tell you there is no money at the province to build this GTA West Corridor. Another assumption that was made in the BTMP is grade separation at King Street and Humber Station. That also is not happening. Region Appeal has made it very clear that that is not happening. In fact, grade separation will be happening at Coleraine and Elwood Drive, and that EA has also been put on hold because of an OMB challenge. So that's another assumption that is inaccurate. Another assumption made on page 25 of the BTMP is with respect to GO Rail Transit Service. That's not happening. Metrolinx has made it extremely clear on a number of occasions that they are not looking at Bolton right now for GO Rail. I certainly hope that they will at some point put it back on the books, because I think Bolton needs GO Rail service. So, but that's another assumption in the Transportation Master Plan that's not happening. The other comments I'd like to make is with respect to the report that was sent to us, and it was brought to Regional Council on September 13th, that spoke to the downtown Bolton all-day on-street parking. I would like to draw to your attention that in this report, and there are a number that was cited, some were saying there were 20 people at the August 9th meeting, or 50 people, or 40 people. Well, I can tell you that our staff at the Region Appeal were quite articulate, and on page 4 of that report, attendance from the community was strong, with a total of approximately 120 attendees. During the open mic discussion, many residents expressed their concerns regarding all-day on-street parking in downtown Bolton. In addition, the Public Information Center email feedback was accepted for a 4-week period from July 26 to August 17th, and they go on to list a number of key themes they heard that night. Also, the Region Appeal, as a result of the feedback that they received from the public that evening, they decided that they were going to defer this interim solution. They also sent this back to the town of Caledon, and this is what their report concluded. Consequently, the request of the Town of Caledon to the Region Appeal to implement all-day on-street parking on Crean Street will be deferred until such time as the town has had an opportunity to provide comment on the feedback received from the Bolton All-Day On-Street Public Information Center held August 9, 2018. A copy of the public feedback report has been provided to the Town of Caledon. Thereafter, regional staff will report back to council with recommendations next step. I don't ever recall any meetings that took place to address any of these concerns. What I saw was a motion that appeared before us to say, let's implement this pilot project. Not any consultation, nothing since the August 9th meeting. And as requested and required by the Region Appeal to have some feedback based on, or comment based on the feedback received at that meeting, I haven't seen any of that. So I have a real hard time supporting this motion. I believe that there are a number of measures that we can put in place. I also received some comments from a resident with regards to the incident this morning that they were downtown. They work downtown, they live downtown, and speed was not a factor. So this unfortunately has caused a lot of angst in our community. I don't think that we've approached it the right way. I don't think that this is the way to approach it at all. And for the record, I will continue to state that the safety of all residents in Bolton is a priority for me, has always been. Not just the people who live on the North Hill or the South Hill or downtown Bolton, but everyone, because this affects everyone. The other thing that I'd like to state for the record, we talk about the Emerald Cove Parkway. That's a part of the solution, but we need a more holistic approach. We need a more holistic infrastructure improvements. We've got the George Bolton Parkway that's supposed to continue east and west. We've got the issue at the Albion Vaughan Road that we're dealing with those residents where they have, we've redirected the trucks over there, and yes, and I was a big supporter and put forward the motion to remove the trucks from downtown, but then we pushed it over there. And now they are feeling the pressures, they're feeling the all the challenges with the truck traffic moving on Albion Vaughan Road. We've got Columbia Way. Those residents on the North Hill, they can't travel on Columbia Way because it needs to be improved. That hasn't been done. Town Line needs improvement. So there are a number of factors here, because once we implement all-day parking, we're going to get people, and it's a Band-Aid solution, and they are going to start filtering through other neighborhoods. And then we're going to get those people coming to us saying, hey, well, what about us? We have safety concerns here. So I think that our approach here tonight, bringing this motion forward, is not the right approach. You need a more holistic approach. We need to make sure that the infrastructure is in place, all of the infrastructure, and we need to look at a better solution. Cars, parked cars, should not be the shield for pedestrians, because those cars are not there 24/7, and there are people walking up and down all the time. So we can't be using the car, say, let's park it there because it's going to protect the people on the sidewalk. Not true. I'm going to express a little disappointment in the memorandum from the OPP. Very disappointed to see that OPP on April 24th wrote, and Mayor Thompson, I'm going to ask you for some leeway here, because this is an important issue. I am not convinced all-day parking would assist due to the large volume of traffic during the morning and afternoon commute. I believe this would impede the regular flow of traffic, increase morning and afternoon commute. I believe this would impede the regular flow of traffic, increase gridlock, and increase aggressive driving behavior. With lanes being reduced, drivers will tend to cut in and become more aggressive trying to get to their destination, because it's all about me. This would also impede and restrict the movement of emergency vehicles trying to get through. I believe the region and town traffic staff would be best to have discussions with regarding the impact on implementing all-day parking or perhaps other traffic calming measures. The problem is this is a very heavily traveled road. That was from Inspector Carruthers on April 24th. I was shocked to see Inspector Carruthers' latest memo, and I don't have it in front of me, but it was very different from what he wrote on April 24th. Makes me wonder if there was any influence there in having a totally different opinion from the inspector. It's 8.3.2, and I don't have it in front of me, but it was very different from what he wrote on April 24th. I agreed with the inspector that really what he wrote on April 24th is that we all need to sit down and figure out with the region and the town the best traffic calming and what types of traffic calming is going to help alleviate the issues we're having downtown. The downtown merchants, I totally support them. I've been on the BIA since I was first elected in 2000. I have very strong support for what they are trying to achieve to have their businesses succeed and thrive. This is not just one solution that's going to make that happen. I think what the Bolton Transportation Master Plan has in there, the plans for downtown Bolton, is wonderful. I look at Orangeville. Orangeville works great. But Orangeville did a lot of work on their downtown. We're just piecemealing here. And this is what, in my opinion, this motion is. It's a piecemeal Band-Aid solution, not looking at solution in a more holistic way. And again, we also have Coleraine. We built that bypass north of Mayfield. Great. You get south of Mayfield, and what happens there? Traffic is gridlock. Because that is also not in place. That's not completed as of yet. So I think, having said all this, again, there needs to be a more holistic approach. We need to look at the infrastructure that we have in place. We need to put dollars in place to complete the infrastructure that's lacking to help everyone move in and out safely throughout the community, get to work, get home, get to where they're going, taking their children wherever they're going, stopping and having an ice cream or whatever it is that they're doing over at Tim Hortons or whatever people choose to do downtown Bolton. And for the record, again, I fully support the revitalization of downtown Bolton, hence the reason I've worked very hard over the years to implement a number of things for downtown. But again, the work, we have a long way to go to get there. And I certainly hope that council will consider all of what the residents are saying, not a handful, and look at a solution that is going to help and keep all the residents of Bolton safe, no matter where they live. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Councillor Rosa.
Thank you very much. First, I would like to start by saying that on a daily basis, I wear three hats every day. I'm a husband and a father to kids who are living and going to school in Bolton. I wear that hat every day. I wear a hat as a head of student services and a teacher in a high school here in Bolton. And more importantly, I'm also the area councillor representing residents in Bolton. I wear all those hats. And when I wear all of them, I want to make it very clear that public safety is my number one priority, regardless of which hat I'm wearing at what time of day. So that's why this is a very serious issue for me. And I'm going to start by saying that I did my research as well, and I had very difficult conversations with emergency services. I had a great conversation with OPP representatives, Inspector Carruthers, at Coffee with Council. And I just cannot ignore what he said to me. His first words were, I cannot support this. And the reason why I can't support it, he said, is because it's going to increase aggressive driving behavior. I can't ignore that, not as a father, not as a teacher, and not as a counselor. I certainly can't ignore that it's going to impede and restrict movements of emergency services. I can't ignore that statement, and I urge the rest of council not to ignore that as well, because that was just a few weeks ago. And we've got that in writing, and I've had those tough conversations in person, and I just don't think we're in a position to ignore those very, very strong statements from someone who is involved in this on a daily basis. This is the job and the services they provide to our community. This is what those people, those experts, are saying to us. So I'm not prepared, regardless of what hat I'm wearing, to ignore that statement. The second thing I'd like to talk about is that there's this assumption that this issue deals with inconveniencing people living on the North Hill or in the Valley. I'm going to say to you truthfully tonight that the majority of correspondence I've had this week has come from South Hill residents. When I met them on the streets, when I was in the grocery store, when I went to church, when I opened my email. And those individuals who back onto Albion Vaughan Road are just as concerned about this motion as those living north of King Street. Because Albion Vaughan Road needs a hell of a lot of TLC before we can implement something like this. That road is a disaster. And we need to realize that if we put all-day parking in at this time, naturally the bypass for people living north is also Albion Vaughan Road. And they're going to be pushed onto that road. And those individuals backing onto that road already have serious issues that they're dealing with. The environmental studies say that the noise is surpassing what is allowed, number one. The pollution will increase. The road is a disaster when you drive on it. I'm on that road every day, and we're going to move more people onto that road because that's the natural east side bypass. So people getting home, who need to get home at the end of the workday, to get their kids to activities, because let me tell you, I know about kids and their activities. Everybody has something they're doing every night. So I'm concerned about those individuals as well. We haven't spoken enough about how this will impact that east bypass. Okay, so that's a conversation we need to be having, okay, before we do this. I do agree with Councillor Groves that the infrastructure needs to be a high priority before we implement change. Because change is important. I'm all about collecting data. I'm all about community safety. I'm all about revitalizing downtown. I'm all about supporting those businesses. But you know what's missing from this? What are the measurables? We're going to implement a plan here for 12 months, and I asked last week for a list of what it is we're going to try to measure over the next 12 months, and I don't see that list yet. So we're going into this a little premature, as far as I'm concerned. And I'm okay with all-day parking if we had the infrastructure in place. I would be the first one supporting it. But we don't have that infrastructure. We don't have a plan. We don't have measurables. We don't have any of these things. I love the picture Mr. Mezzapelli put forward. Beautiful. I'd love to be down there too, for sure. Spending an afternoon with my family walking up that, fantastic. But can we figure out what we're going to do with these cars before we implement that during the busiest time of the day? That's my concern here. So it's really important to continue this dialogue. It's really important for us to look at the entire situation and not focus in just on parking in a few spots downtown between 4 and 7 p.m. It's important to look at the entire situation before we make this decision. And I really don't think this council is ready to make this decision right now because I haven't had enough dialogues around it. I want to sit down and have those really hard conversations and collegially and collaboratively come up with a plan that makes sense for the entire community, south, north, valley, wherever you live. That's what needs to happen. And there are other recommendations. If you read the report from the Region Appeal, it clearly states other recommendations as well. One of the things I was surprised to read was one of the recommendations was all-day parking on the east side only and not on the west, allowing for emergency service to come south. I looked at that and I go, wow, that's interesting. We've never even talked about that. Maybe it's time to have that discussion. So I urge council to let's continue having this dialogue. Let's look at a plan with measurables first. Let's put together what it is we're trying to accomplish over the next 12 months. Let's get those emergency service people on board, because I'm going to tell you, in closing, I'm going to say they're non-committal. I wanted everyone on board. Instead, I'm not getting any definite position on it. I'm actually getting all kinds of contradictions. 1 month we're reading one thing, the next week we're reading something else. We need to be on the same page here if we're going to solve the problem. I appreciate your attention. I'm hoping that we can continue the conversation, but I don't believe we should be implementing this at this time. I believe that we need to sit down and figure out the plan first. Thank you.
Councillor Sinclair.
Thank you. Assuming if this pilot goes through, I guess I'm asking myself, a pilot for what? And what is it we want to learn? And I really haven't seen much focused on data. And I would like to propose an amendment to the main motion here, which would read along the lines of resolve that the Bolton all-day on-street parking pilot measure the core area number of accidents, stacking back from the King Street intersection during rush hour at the start, midway, and end of the pilot, traffic counts in the core, business viability, if that's possible, but also the traffic counts on Emmacoal Parkway, Caledon King Town Line, and Caledon Vaughan Town Line during the pilot. So if you're going to put a squeeze on Queen, usually traffic starts to flow around other ways, and we should be measuring those. And I want to point out that I think it was in 97 we did the OMB hearing for the trinodal development and the official plan of the town of Caledon. And during that OMB hearing, the hearing officer kept accepting individual development applications for subdivisions. I think there were up to 8 of them in Bolton. The guy approved all of them. We never had a chance to do a secondary plan for Bolton and really examine traffic flows. So that would be a proposal. What do you think, Mr. Chairman?
Well, if you want to bring that motion forward, what I would like to do with the clerk, just make sure we get the wording right. If we could take a 5-minute break to do that right now, and then we'll bring that back for discussion, because this is what we need is discussion. Can I have everybody's attention, please? Move. So we'll get this posted, if we could, please, so everybody on the screen can see what's the amendment. Moved by Councillor Sinclair, second by Councillor Early, that the following paragraphs be added: that on-street pilot program measure within a minimum in the Bolton core area the following: the number of accidents, stacking from King Street intersection rush hour at the beginning, middle, and the end of the pilot program, traffic counts, speed, business viability including economic activity, response times for EMS, and that the traffic counts be conducted on the Emmacoal Parkway, Caledon Town Line, Caledon Vaughan Town Line, and Columbia Way. So what I'll do is now I'm going to clear the board. If anybody wants to speak, does anybody want to speak to the motion? Councillor Groves. So you want to speak to it? Okay. Councillor Downey.
Thank you. Through Mayor Thompson, I think all of these are really good measurables. But I think it's important to remember that there are, although a fairly lengthy preamble in the original motion, there are technically only 3 asks. The first is that the town requests the Region Appeals implement a pilot. The second is that staff are requested to evaluate and report back. We need to determine which staff, regional staff, town staff, combination of the two. So I'd like to ask that question of Mr. Wong. And thirdly, that staff continue to work with the Region Appeal to implement recommendations in the Bolton Transportation Master Plan. So although these are logical measurables, these measurables may actually be more appropriate at the regional level because it may be regional staff that are doing that work. So I'd maybe like to hear from Mr. Wong.
Through Mayor Thompson, the measuring would be done by regional staff, and town of Caledon staff would help and coordinate where we can. Obviously, if this passes, then the roads that are mentioned that are town of Caledon roads, we would do some of that measurement, but we would coordinate with regional staff so that we don't duplicate, and we could get economies of scale in terms of pricing for some of these measurements and so on.
From a just a second question, from a traffic perspective, is there anything missing from that list? I think sometimes, I'd like to refer to the experts on what those measurables should be from a traffic perspective.
That's why we asked at a minimum.
And Mayor Thompson, I will refer to the expert. I'll ask Mr. Eric Chan to speak to that.
Perfect. Through Mayor Thompson, if we consider traffic counts to be all modes of transportation, meaning not just vehicle counts, then number three, traffic counts will include the whole aspect of traffic going through the area.
Okay. Councillor Groves.
Thank you, Mayor Thompson. It's one of the things that I want to see in there somehow, and I don't know how we do that, is the impacts it's going to have on the other neighborhoods, because I can assure you, you're going to see cut through traffics in other neighborhoods. People already are, when it's backed up, so, and just so you know, staff at the Region Appeal have CCTV cameras all along Highway 50. They have a live feed of Highway 50 that shows them exactly how the traffic moves, the traffic pattern. The one thing that I don't think that they should have had, which they don't have, and I've asked them to do that, is to have, I guess, a DVR where they can record all of this and not just see it every day and then you don't see it and you can't go back to it. And I can tell you that looking at it, because I've been in their room, which it looks like a CSI room when you go in there, and you see the entire traffic movement on the entire Queen Street corridor. One vehicle is parked there, and the traffic is backed way up on the South Hill. And what happens is when that traffic is backed up, people are going onto Willow Street, they turn onto Elizabeth Street, and then go on to Nancy Street, onto James Street. And those streets, if you know what they're like, they're very narrow, they're older neighborhoods. They certainly cannot handle what goes through there. They've even had trucks turning on those streets. We've got many seniors living on Nancy and on Jane. So I'm not sure how or if that can be done where you can monitor and you can look at the impacts it would have on the other streets. This here, these are the measurables that I believe some of them that Councillor Rosa was talking about. This is what needed to happen before implementing any pilot project. Collect all the data, do the measurables, have a look at it, and at that point in time, decide whether or not on-street parking is the way to go. The way the main motion is worded, I think, or is presented, you're really putting the cart before the horse. And I have to tell you, we're really good at doing that. We've done that for many, many years in Bolton. Hence the reason Bolton is the way it is, where we really put the cart before the horse constantly. This amendment makes sense, but again, I don't support having all-day parking at this time without having all of these measurables in place, all of this information, and I think we need this before making any recommendation to the Region Appeal with respect to all-day parking. So not sure how I'm going to just handle this amendment and what we do with it, because I don't know how it ties into the whole implementing the pilot. So I don't know. Maybe somebody can help me out. Maybe the clerk can help me out on that. I don't know.
Through the mayor to Councillor Groves. I'm not sure exactly what you're asking me, but the amendment would be included with the main motion that would be sent to the region.
Right. So I don't support the main motion because I don't support implementing that. But I do think that all of this is really good because you need all of that information before you actually consider an implementation. So we're kind of backwards here. We're working backwards. So I... Councillor Sinclair, thank you, but I think this is what we needed before making any kind of recommendation for all day.
Councillor DeBoer.
Thanks. I think it's just speaking to the amendment, it's a good suggestion from Councillor Sinclair, having this information, and then with the way that the motion is written, this will happen prior to implementation. And then all this, these numbers would be supplied back to us once it's completed. I just wonder whether, and it would be more for direction for staff, but maybe at the six-month or three-month time frame, have an update. It would just be a memo, but having staff giving council an update as this pilot project rolls through as to where the numbers are and seeing if there's trends and comments with regard to these measurables and probably anything else that they see fit. But this brings a lot of clarity to exactly the project that we need to have happen. So I'll speak again on the rest of the motion, but this is a good addition, and it should clear up a lot of the question marks and make it a little bit clearer for everybody on this issue. Thanks.
Okay. Mr. Wong, you're okay with that?
Mayor Thompson, since this is going to the region, I would recommend that if there is a request for a six-month update, that be included in what gets sent to the region in writing.
Okay, thank you. Yeah. Councilor Rosa.
Thank you. I do believe that we need to keep a very close eye on Evans Ridge Road, which is the residential street off of King Road, which brings people north into the subdivision, because I have had many, many calls from Silver Valley, Evans Ridge, those areas there. People are currently using that as an opportunity to get back through and into the North Hill subdivision. I do think you're going to see an increase on that street. That street's had some major safety issues already. There have been several accidents there. Actually, they've had some of the residents have had to put signs in front of their properties that they've made themselves that say slow down and kids are playing and so on. There's a little parkette at the top of the hill there. So I really don't think we can ignore that street. I think throughout this study, we definitely have to keep an eye on that, because that really is the, other than Albion Vaughan Road or the town line, that's really the only other one that goes into the subdivision. And I do believe that there will be a major increase of traffic on that street. And I worry about pedestrian safety. I worry about the kids that are playing in the park. So I just warn that we should definitely be monitoring that closely. Thank you.
Did you want to amend Evans Ridge to this?
I think it would be very valuable to monitor it, to keep an eye on it, because it's going to be definitely used. And I worry when they're going up that hill around the bend, there's a little parkette there. I drive through there all the time, and I just see the potential of having a lot more traffic on Evans Ridge. And, you know, this is a residential street. People live there. Kids play on the street. They play ball hockey. I've seen it all, and I really think it would be valuable to keep a close eye there and maybe have some additional patrolling of OPP in that area as well, because potentially closing, you know, during that heavy rush hour. I actually had the opportunity to sit there one afternoon with a resident who asked me to sit there with him during this time, and at 5 o'clock I was blown away about how many cars were going up Evans Ridge. I would have never guessed that just looking at it on a map. People are taking that to avoid, you know, Albion Vaughan or the town line or going through Highway 50. So, you know, it's a little secret that's kept, and I think people are going to figure that out very soon. Thank you.
Mr. or Councillor Rosa,
If you want to work with the clerk, we can just do that as a friendly amendment to it. But this would make sense to do it, so I'll take Councillor Ennis's comments.
Thank you, Mayor Thompson. I just want to confirm, and maybe Mr. Wong or Mr. Chan can answer, but pilot projects, typically you figure out what your measurables are, then you have a baseline so that we know where we started from. That's how a pilot project works. So all of these things will have a baseline, and then we monitor it over the period of time and collect the data, correct? So those the counselors that have concerns that there's no baseline, of course we're going to have a baseline. You get that information before you actually start the pilot project. I just want confirmation.
Mr. Chan.
Through Mayor Thompson, to Councillor Innes, the baseline will be a comparison between before and after.
Thank you. So we know that there's going to be something that we're going to be comparing it to, which is important. I support the amendment. I think that at General Committee, we all talked about measurables and what types of measurables there should be. I'm glad that it says at a minimum, because I think that I will also be looking towards our engineering staff as well as our economic development team here to help provide some input for us to give to the region as to some of those things that should be looked at. And like I mentioned at General Committee, I'm more than happy as a regional councillor to work with Councillor Groves and our two area councillors to make sure that we're having that conversation to make sure that those things that need to be measured are in there. And I do agree that there needs to be an education piece as part of these measurables and what we're trying to achieve. And we can talk about that at a later point, but throwing out the suggestion that perhaps Councillor Groves' newsletter that actually goes to all of those residents that would be using it is a good education opportunity on behalf of the region, but that's just a suggestion that I will throw out there, and then I'll speak to the main motion once we get to it.
Okay, thank you, Pools. I'll leave that with you at this moment, Councillor Innes, but I'll continue on with Councillor Kiernan.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd actually like to speak a bit to what Councillor Rosa just brought forward. I found that very interesting. Talking about vehicles using streets like Evans Ridge as alternatives to get off the highway and find a different route. I'd be very interested in the findings that you receive, or that we receive back with regards to that. You know, perhaps we'd find it helpful to some of the residents in Caledon Village that have bypass traffic. They don't have a bypass in Caledon Village. We don't have the benefit of a bypass there. We have Highway 10 that cuts the village right in half, similar to Highway 50 on a bigger scale, and a lot of streets that are used as alternatives to not go to the light, where you know, people do live and have children playing, just like you're talking about. So I might find this very interesting to see what comes back from this Evans Ridge to thereby help the people up in Caledon Village. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Well, Mr. Rosa, if we can... Councillor Rosa, if we can get you to sign it. And,
to the amendment.
Okay. Just put it over top, yeah. The amendment to the amendment. Moved by Councillor Rosa, second by Councillor Innes. The following paragraph be added to update regarding the pilot program be provided to Council in a six-month time frame. Nodded with Evans Ridge.
Sorry, wrong one.
That's the wrong one. Yeah.
Wrong one. Councillor Groves, if I can just bring that, or you got a quick question? So moved by Councillor Rosa, second by Councillor Innes, that number seven be added as follows, and this is the amendment to the amendment, that increased traffic be monitoring during rush hour Evans Ridge through Silver Valley, Kingsview, and other streets that could be impacted?
Well, that seems to be the main one.
Those are the main ones? Okay. All right. Well, Councillor Groves, you can speak to it.
Well, I just mentioned Willow Street, and I'm going to tell you we've had speed cushions that we've been installing on Willow Street now for a number of years, because they have been taking a lot of cut-through traffic, because people that are avoiding the four corners, the lights, people that are avoiding when the traffic is backed up, they're cutting through Willow Street. They're actually turning when they're not even supposed to be turning. They're doing it. So we've got those folks on Willow Street. They also have children that are playing there, and they've been voicing concerns for a number of years now. I'm sure we're probably into maybe something like year seven with these folks on Willow Street. I just mentioned Nancy Street, Jane Street, Elizabeth Street. So there are a number of surrounding areas that is going to be impacted, and it's not just Kingsview or Silver Valley or Evans Ridge. It's all of, it's that entire area. So I don't know how we word that. I don't know if we, like I said, list the individual streets, but I can tell you that I have received concerns from the folks on Nancy Street and on Jane Street. You got tractor trailers detouring through there. So I don't know how you discount those folks, because I certainly won't be discounting them, because it's going to have an impact on them. And again, Willow Street.
So, Councillor Groves, what I think I'm going to do, just because where we are with this one, we'll bring this one forward, and then if you want to bring another amendment with those other ones, you can. Because I don't know how else you're going to... All right. Well, first of all, I'm going to ask Councillor Rosa, are you okay with that?
I think it's necessary to monitor those areas for sure. So I'm okay with that. But I do agree with Councillor Groves that there are, you know, issues down on Willow as well. It's just one of these things that I think we really need to keep an eye on, because it's going to cause some issues.
Okay. So. Okay, if we can get 2 minutes with the clerk, yes, Councillor Innes.
I understand what Councillor Rosa and Councillor Groves are saying, but I think that we, in the original amendment, we said at a minimum.
Yeah.
I think that there's an opportunity for us as councillors to sit down with our staff and have the conversation, and the engineers who do these studies all the time, to say, can we make sure that we are looking at bypass alternatives and monitoring them, and just include all of them.
Good enough. I think that's fair. Okay. Councillor DeBoer, on the amendment.
On this amendment, I was going to make the exact same suggestion, that staff, the motion does leave latitude to staff to, at a minimum, and, you know, I would suggest the councillors and anybody who wants to talk to the staff to make suggestions. I know we all travel through town, and we do see where people cut through. But my question with regards to the monitoring pipes that we put in, the lines that we put in on intersections, we do a lot of the rural networks in our main roads. Do we do the secondaries within town, especially these roads, recognizing the traffic and then trying to attempt to map? Because if people are using Evans Ridge and Silver Valley and Kingsview to go up to their homes in the North Hill, that's going to be their route home. It's not that they're going to go into town and King Road and Highway 50 and come back in. It's just like if I have somebody who lives in Cedar Mills, they're going to come up Mount Hope Road and go into Cedar Mills on Matson and Palmer. They're not going to go over into downtown Bolton, go up Highway 50, and then go into their subdivision. So do we have the ability to do that level of mapping and traffic planning?
Mr. Chen?
Through you, Mayor Thompson, to you, Councillor DeBoer. Like I said before, the comparison between before and after will indicate whether there's a change in travel pattern. So that's what you described, just described about the tubes on the row, that we can compare at a different time. There's another methodology of looking at the origin and destination pattern, not just one point on the row. And that kind of a survey will be a specialized survey through a surveying company, more relying on manpower, looking at the license plate number entering at one point and exiting at one point. So that will be an option. But in the essence of comparison, I think the traditional tube on the road will be sufficient to compare the before and after.
Well, I think if you do the tubes, I would think with your modeling, you should be able to know cars come in, so many cars came in here, and then you know at the top end there's only a couple outs, so you'll know how many cars come out the top end, and if they're the same number, you'll know they're coming through, or there's volumes coming through, or there's cars coming in. But if there's more cars come in than leave, then you know that the vast majority of the cars are coming, and that's their community where they live. Then what we have to do is a large-scale education piece that tells people, you know, you're speeding past your neighbor's kids. Would you be happy if they raced past your kids as they were playing in the streets? And then playing in the streets, I know you guys all have a different discussion on playing in the streets, but that is a rite of Canadian passage, street hockey, right?
Okay. Councillor Groves.
Thank you. So I just want to make it clear, when people are going to, for them to get to Evans Ridge, Silver Valley, they're going on Willow Street. They're going to turn right on Willow Street. They're going to go on David Street, and then they're coming out on King Street, and then they're going up Evans Ridge through Silver Valley onto Kingsview, and off they go to the North Hills. So Willow Street is a huge concern, and it has been a concern. We've been putting, like I said, those speed cushions there to calm traffic. The other thing that I'm wondering that we really need to look at, and I know that it's been suggested by a number of residents, if we're talking about speed, and that's what I'm hearing is speed. I understand that the owner of the ice cream shop, when he delegated last time, said he'd park his car there to make sure that people don't get hit on the sidewalk. There are other things, because his car is not going to be there 24/7. His ice cream shop is closed up for half the year. Other places are open downtown for the entire year. So I guess what I'm trying to say is, again, that holistic approach in looking at traffic calming. If speed is an issue, which I don't know that, because I'd certainly like to see the data from the police with the incidents down there, whether speed was a factor, or is it distracted drivers that are on their cell phones texting, or just people in a big hurry and just being aggressive downtown. So we did some work, the region did some work, and we put in railings on the west side of the road where the sidewalk is, so that when people are walking along there, you've got the railings, they're behind the railing. Maybe that's something that we need to be talking with the regional traffic guys about, to see if the folks over there by the ice cream shop or whoever is concerned that cars are going to jump up on the sidewalk, you might want to look at bollards or railings or whatever we put there. We might also want to look at, and I know Kleinberg's done it, other communities have done it, and I know that it's not a huge, it's that the EMS, they don't look at it favorable, but speed humps, not the speed bumps, because there's a difference between the humps and the bumps, because the bumps is what gets our snowplow blades and nick them and cause damage to them. But the humps are gradual, and we did some of that on Elwood Drive. I haven't heard any concerns or any issues from our plows or our EMS or anything with the ones we implemented on Elwood Drive many years ago, and those are the humps that are gradual, but people do slow down. You know, so again, there are a number of things we can look at when we're talking about if speed is a concern, traffic calming. On-street parking is a part of. So I'm just asking for a holistic look on the entire downtown and the concerns that people have. So I'm going to leave that. Mr. Chen is taking notes, so I'm going to leave all that with Mr. Chen.
Fair enough.
Okay. I'm going to call the vote on this. All in favor of this amendment of the amendment? All carried. Okay, back to the original amendment. As amended? The amendment that is amended. Yes, it's been amended once. So. All in favor? Carried. Now I got one more amendment here. Moved by Councillor DeBoer, second by Councillor Downey, that the following paragraph be added, that an update regarding the pilot program be provided to Council at a six-month time frame. All in favor? Opposed? Carried. Okay. No. Yes, back to the original motion as amended. Recorded vote. Okay, I'll pass it over to the clerk. Oh, Councillor Innes. Yes, absolutely, you can.
Because I've only been speaking to the amendments.
Okay.
I know that this is a difficult decision to make, but I'm of the mind that status quo isn't working. We need to do something, and we need more information so that we can make the best decision. When I was first elected, the first time around, Councillor DeBoer and I sat down and went over some of the major issues in our wards, and obviously Palgrave and Caledon East Village Chorus came up. They're both regional roads. I immediately had to sit down with regional staff and start discussing how we're going to make improvements to those roads. Palgrave is now living through their construction, and Caledon East will be living through theirs within the next year. They take a long time to revitalize. They take a long time to go through the process. There's EAs, there's studies, there's planning, there's businesses to consult, there's residents to consult. You have to include the public. It's a long process, but you have to start. You have to start at some time, or else it's never going to happen. Bolton came together. They came together with the Bolton Transportation Master Plan. There was consultation. There was discussion. There is a vision that comes out of that. It's a lovely vision that Mr. Mezzapelli shared with everybody. It's a vision that I think most of us want to see in that downtown core. They want to be part of it. It's inviting. It's welcoming. I would feel safe walking down there with my kids, whether they're going to the ice cream shop or getting a haircut. It's something that that village needs, and it's something that it deserves, and the only way we're going to get there is if we start moving the marker. So I support the amendment. I support the fact that we're going to get the data so that we can look at it, and I will make a commitment that I will start working at the region to start putting into the budget and get working on implementing this master plan and implementing that vision, because it needs to happen in the downtown core. I've spoken before about having a vision in that downtown core of what we need, making sure that we've got a vibrant, connected community, because right now it's not happening. And we keep doing the same thing over and over again. And every day I have residents and businesses sending me messages saying, look at this accident that just happened. We can't continue to do the same thing over and over again. It's a definition of insanity and thinking that you're going to get a different result. You're not. So I support this pilot. I think that we need to do something. I think that we need more information. I think that we have some great measurables to look at to find out what the successes are. It is going to impact the entire community. It's going to impact my ward because there's tons of my residents who travel that way, whether they're going, their destination is downtown Bolton or their destination is south of Bolton. That's a reality, but the safety of those residents down there is very, very important, and the success of those businesses is also important. So I will support the amendment and look forward to working to see the Bolton Master Plan come to its full fruition.
Okay. Councillor Groves.
Thank you. Well, I want to put it on record, two things. I fully support public safety of all of my residents, not just some. I fully support the revitalization of downtown Bolton. A lot of work that needs to happen downtown Bolton to make that happen. And I don't believe that the all-day parking is the answer to all of the problems we have downtown Bolton. It is part of the solution that will help, but I don't believe that we're looking at this through the broader lens, if you will, on how to bring it all together. We are piecemealing again. I want to draw everyone's attention to this report from Regional Council or Regional Staff. Regional staff were very considerate and they had regard for the people, the comments that they heard, the feedback that they got from the August 9th meeting. They deferred their decision because part of the Bolton Transportation Master Plan and part of the region's chronology on dealing with downtown included an implementation of all-day parking. However, they deferred that until such time that the town had consultation or comments on the feedback. We haven't done that. And here we are going to look at implementing this all-day parking without having any regard for what was said at that meeting. Again, I think we're putting the cart before the horse. We have not done what the regional staff asked us to do. So now we are going to send a motion to Regional Council, and the folks that sit on Regional Council rely on the lower tier and what they have to say, and they are going to go with that. However, the most important thing that Regional Council will not have, and I will do my darndest to make sure that that's heard there, if this is passed and when it goes there, is that the two councillors for the area had no say in this, no participation, no prior knowledge of any of this coming forward. And in my opinion, dealing with those folks that sit at Regional Council from Brampton and Mississauga, they respect each other in their own wards and communities, that when they bring something forward to the region, they are going to take the word of their councillors for those wards, areas, whatever. Here we are. Councillor Rosa and I have been completely discounted from any of this. So we're going to send something to the region saying, oh, yeah, we did all of our stuff. We consulted with the community. We addressed those things that came up in the August 9th meeting, but we certainly did not. So I can't support this. And I don't want some of those folks that are out there saying that, that they made it here, that some of us, that we don't care about public safety. Absolutely not true. I also don't want them to go out there and say that Councillor Rosa and I don't care about the revitalization of the downtown core or the success of the businesses in the downtown core. False. Absolutely not. I have worked very closely with the BIA over the years, and in fact, I will tell you something. I'm very disappointed with this council and the previous council because every time the BIA comes forward with some stuff, it's no, turn it down. The BIA worked tirelessly, worked very hard to improve the look of downtown Bolton. They've applied for grants to improve downtown Bolton, but we've turned them down. So, you know, here we are because some folks that have been lobbying for all-day parking decided that we're going to bring it forward and have the mayor bring it forward. Here we are. We have not looked at the whole picture. We have not taken a holistic approach to this. But I, like I said, for the record, I am in complete support of the businesses downtown and on the South Hill. What happens to those businesses on the South Hill? If we're asking people to don't go downtown, go on the Emilco Parkway. Well, geez, they're going to bypass all the businesses on the South Hill. What happens to them? So here we are, piecemeal. Again, no consideration for the businesses on the South Hill. Haven't heard anything about them. They're struggling. They're struggling just as much as downtown is struggling. And then the irony in all of this is we're saying, oh, well, we want a downtown to flourish and we want people to stop at the shops and everything else. But, geez, we're going to say to you, don't go downtown. Go over there to the ML Cole Parkway, bypass the traffic, don't go through there, and don't stop at the shops. So, you know, I don't get it. I must be missing something here because I certainly don't understand it. I don't get it. But I want, for the record, public safety is a priority for me. The revitalization of downtown is a priority for me. And I want that on record. And I cannot support the way this motion is and the piecemealing and the fact that we have not even had one discussion since August 9th, 2018. None.
Councillor DeBoer.
Thanks. I see this as being the first step in the revitalization. I think it's very important to find out what the what's the response to coming to two lanes of traffic in the downtown core. At some point in time, we're going to, if you support the concept of revitalization, the revitalization concept does exactly that, and that will eliminate the two outside lanes. We can turn around at some point and just build it and then find out that the impacts are going to be great. Then what do? We've invested the money into the building. The best way to figure out that part of it is to bring in and implement the all-day parking. To talk about having somebody coming through town, right now, if you're caught in the traffic coming through town, you're not stopping at the shops in the downtown core because you've got no place to park. You got to leave and go around to the back, and the Green Pea parking is full. So you're not shopping there anyways at rush hour. So you're not going to add to the business. So I see this as being the first step. As far as the safety, we've had lots of discussions around that, and I've been here long enough to know that staff will tell you very quickly that putting cars, putting white lines, for example, on roads and narrowing them down will slow traffic. There's a number of things to make it so that things are tighter. When you get two cars racing in the same direction, they're going to go quicker, and they seem to want to race. If you've got one line of traffic, I'm thinking it should be better. As far as the businesses to the south, we've got to look at, and I think I'm waiting to see when we get a motion, looking at the revitalization and the design of Highway 50 from Mayfield Road all the way through to Coleraine or all the way through to the roundabout. All of that road should look totally different than what it does today and make it look like a community road. Those are the things that we should be starting to look at and starting to have the discussion now that we've moved from having a bypass that I know was in the works for not just the 19 years, but the over 40-some-odd years when Mr. Egan was actually the reeve of Bolton and dedicated an opportunity to build a bypass for Bolton. So this is finally here. I remember the conversation when the parking left and they said, we'll reinstate it, that previous council, reinstating it and having it back for the businesses downtown. Once the bypass was built. Our part of the bypass is built, and we need to push the region to push and build the bypass to the south. So I do see this as being the first step. If the impacts on the neighboring roads become too great, then we definitely need to include traffic calming and changes to drive changes in traffic pattern as part of the revitalization of the downtown core. This gives us an opportunity to do our homework. As far as the initiatives to get the trucks out of the downtown core, it's happened. We didn't have any say in it, but I certainly lived through all the trucks that I get on the town line and on what we fondly call the Tottenham Expressway, because when they get to King Road, they got no place to go. But those are the trucks that the region decided shouldn't go through the downtown core anymore, and they've gone to other areas. So, yes, we've got lots of issues with traffic. I can tell you the commuters, and we had the experience this morning, as I deviate a little bit, if I might. This morning we actually had a cow get out on the road, and we had traffic commuters coming from number 9, and there was not very many spots where people from inside of Caledon that could have got on the road. And we managed to back up the cars a little bit because we had a cow out on the road. And the number of people that were upset because they had to wait for a few minutes, and they were wanting to race through our community. And I've said it here before. I think we've got to start coming up with policies that make people not race through our communities, modify our communities so they can get through faster. We need to make it so they can get through slower. Somebody else chose to live in Collingwood or someplace north, Stainer, and commute down through here and go to the big city. So they made the decision, but we need to build communities. We had a motion about Bell Fountain, trying to make our community with signs. Well, I don't think we moved here to have signs in it. We need to figure out a way that that we can modify our community and make it look nice. But it's definitely an issue, and it's becoming a larger issue. The Badlands is another example. So, you know, this is a start. This might not be the overall answer, but at least it gives us a chance to look at what the impacts are going to be when we do modify the downtown core and make it a livable, walking, bicycle, and pedestrian-friendly community.
Okay. Thank you. Councillor Rosa?
I'm going to say that it doesn't only take courage. This, you know, it was implied that we needed to take courage on this. I'm going to say it's going to take a plan. A plan that has attainable, achievable goals attached to it. If you think you're going to solve the problems in downtown Bolton by implementing just this pilot, we're going to need a plan. And I do recall last month Councillor Innes bringing forward an idea of forming a committee. That needs to be immediate. There needs to be an immediate response to that. That committee needs to happen yesterday. This is all part of the package that I think Councillor Groves is talking about. She's talking about ensuring that we take a holistic approach. That holistic approach is about addressing all of the issues. So the courage is going to be in getting the work done, and the work done is going to start with some very strong conversations collegially and collaboratively with the entire team sitting here to solve this problem. We're not going to solve the problems in the downtown core just with the all-day parking. There's some serious issues to look at in the downtown core, and this is just, like, I agree that it's a step, but there's many issues that need to be addressed, and we really need to implement that committee. And I do applaud Councillor Innes for bringing that forward, Councillor Groves for bringing that forward. Those conversations need to happen ASAP.
Okay. Councillor Downey.
Thank you. Through you, Mayor Thompson. I just want to read an excerpt from the memorandum from our traffic staff is an agent for change in the downtown, helping to transition the downtown from a traffic conduit to a people-friendly place where customers and the general public want to be. I support the motion fully. I support the end game. We continue to hear words like holistic and planning, all of those things. I'm constantly amazed by the traffic engineers and the science behind streetscaping and public safety and making our roadways safe for pedestrians, convenient for drivers, all of those things. And I support the long-term vision for the downtown core, and will continue to support all of the pieces that we need to bring together at this table, whether it be planning committees, as Councillor Rosa mentioned, infrastructure upgrades on our surrounding areas. Everybody knows how to get around Bolton, especially if you've ever had to bypass the Santa Claus Parade, which route to take. And I support that vision because I grew up in Bolton, and that vision is the Bolton that I grew up in. So that's what downtown looked like then, and I hope that we can get back there. I think there's a lot of positive opportunity to do that, and I will, I'll continue to support that.
Okay. All right. One thing I'm going to say is, Councillor Rosa, you're right. This isn't going to be the only solution that's going to solve the problem in Bolton. But to me, this is a start. There's been numerous studies, revitalization studies, a lot of good work the BIA's done. But we got to start somewhere. To me, this is a start of many things going forward to what we need to do for Bolton and for our communities. So I know this is a tough one. And going forward, is there things I could have done better as mayor? No question. And to me, it's all about learning. And, but where we're at this point is, I think we got to start somewhere. We've studied and talked.
Now let's put our money where our mouth is. We got people willing to reinvest and redevelop the downtown core, but they said, what are you guys doing? Why, you know, what have you brought to the table? At least we've started with something to show that we want to be partners at the table. So I know it's a tough pill for a lot, but let's try to see what we can learn from this. It's a pilot project. It's not permanent. Let's find out what we get out of this. So that's what I'm asking council to go forward and do. So now I will call a vote. Pardon me? Councillor Groves, can you make it quick? You've gone past the procedure, but I'll let you go quick.
I understand. Thank you. I just want to address the parking issue. We do have a lot of parking downtown. We got parking on the west side of the road. We got the municipal parking lot. We got parking on Mill Street. We got parking in behind Chapel Street. We do have parking. And if we really want to be creative, Council Rosa went to see something in Philadelphia, I think it is, or Pennsylvania. And these people are creative. And if we want more parking, and again, we got to put our money where our mouth is. We have to put money, invest money in downtown Bolton for revitalization. And one of the things Councillor Rosa saw, we've got the municipal parking lot, stacked parking. And on top of the roof is the green roof where you can have people can sit, they can enjoy the fall colors and everything else that Bolton has to offer in downtown, the greenery and that. But I just want to make sure that we, for the record, we do have parking down there. People just don't want to walk.
Okay. Madam Clerk.
Thank you, sir. Recorded vote has been called. So all those in favor of the main motion as amended twice. Please stand, all those in favor. Councillor Sinclair, Councillor Innes, Councillor Early, Mayor Thompson, Councillor Kiernan, Councillor Downey, Councillor DeBoer. All those opposed, please stand. Councillor Groves and Councillor Rosa. The motion passes.
Moved by Councillor Rosa, second by Councillor DeBoer, that May 21st, 2019 General Committee Report Recommendation regarding Staff Report 2019-63 Development Charges Background Study and Bylaw be adopted. Any questions? All in favor? Councillor Groves? Yep.
Thank you. And again, Mayor Thompson, I wasn't here last week when this was brought forward, but I want to thank staff for extending the exemption in downtown Bolton. Again, this is a part of the revitalization downtown, so thank you to Ms. Tollett and her staff for the two-year extension of this. And I remember years ago when I brought this forward, that was the whole reason behind it, was to create some incentives for people to come and build downtown and invest downtown. So thank you.
Okay. Councillor DeBoer?
I did have a real quick discussion earlier this evening, but somewhere along the lines, I just wonder if there is an alternative. We've done a two-year exemption for the redevelopment, and at some point in time, can we have a discussion around what can we do to assist? What can we do to trigger? What can we do to support infill developments in places like this? And talking to the people that have been doing it, they're very expensive, very challenging. There's a lot of things to it. There's almost a resistance to it, but yet the benefits to within the community are so great. So I just wonder, at some point, can we have some discussion around that?
Ms. Hare?
Through Mayor Thompson to Councillor DeBoer, staff are open to discuss that further. There's different tools available to a municipality, such as a community improvement plan. So we can look at development charge discounts if it's appropriate, but the community improvement plan is also a useful tool for that type of exercise.
Thank you.
Okay. Councillor Early.
Thank you. Just in regards to the wedding venue, that I think we had one exemption that we've taken away from the other wedding venue properties. Operating no more than 30 calendar days per year. I did have a resident email me this morning asking how we would monitor that farm or that wedding venue is in compliance.
Ms. Hare?
Through the chair, it'll to Councillor Early, it will be somewhat based on a complaints basis or upon building permit information or any information that comes available to the town, such as their website or if they go through processes to receive additional approvals from the NAC. So there's a few things. It can be difficult, though, challenging to determine exactly how when they if they exceeded that 30 days, but staff will do their best to keep an eye on it.
Thank you. I certainly understand how we came to this position, but some concerns to make sure that if we are exempting these DC charges, that we really need to make sure that we have a proper monitoring system in place so that there is equality for all of the wedding venue locations. Thank you.
A recorded vote has been called.
Thank you, Your Worship. A recorded vote has been called on the development charges. All those in favor, please stand. I see that all members of council who are in attendance are standing, so the motion carries unanimously.
Moved by Councillor Sinclair, second by Councillor Rosa, that the May 21st, 2019 General Committee meeting report recommendations regarding the following be adopted. Staff report 2019-52, feasibility study for the reuse of the historic Alton School, request for universal signage, access for cannabis for medical purposes, illegal dumping, confidential staff report 2019-19, personal matters about identifiable individual, vacancy on climate change action planning task force. All in favor? Carried. Councillor Innes has left. Moved by Councillor DeBoer, second by Councillor Downey, that May 21st, 2019 General Committee meeting report recommendations regarding confidential staff report, proposed pending disposition of land to municipality, proposed purchased land from the Town of Caledon, Triple Crown Line Development Incorporated, Ward 3, be adopted. All in favor? Carried. Move. Okay. Moved by Councillor Kiernan, second by Councillor DeBoer, that May 21st, 2019 Planning Development Meeting Report be received. All in favor? Carried. Councillor, we'll wait for Councillor Downey to leave the room. Moved by Councillor DeBoer, second by Councillor Innes, that May 21st, 2019. Oh, dear. I need another seconder, Councillor Kiernan. Thank you. That May 21st, 2019 public meeting regarding application proposed zoning bylaw amendment RZ1902-13471 Heartlake Road, Part Lot 25, Concession 3, Shinkuzi, Ward 2, be received. All in favor? Carried. Moved by Councillor Rosa, second by Councillor Sinclair, that May 21st, 2019 Planning and Development Committee meeting report recommendation regarding the following consent items be adopted. Staff report 2019-70, landscape security review, industrial commercial site plan applications, review of zoning bylaws, special vehicles, tourism vehicles, Heritage Caledon report dated May 13th, 2019. All in favor? Carried. Moved by Councillor DeBoer, second by Councillor Kiernan, that May 21st, 2019 Planning Development Committee meeting report recommendations regarding the following adopted. Staff report 2019-69, renaming the portion of Cross Country Boulevard as Roy Clarkson Way. And staff report 2019-66, proposed zoning amendment bylaw amendment, Brookfield Residential, Bolton Limited, 50 Ann Street. Councillor DeBoer.
Just for, so that we can have clarification, 2019-68 was referred back to staff.
69, yeah.
69 was referred back to staff. This is reaffirming that, right?
Correct.
Through the chair, yes, it is.
So I'll scratch that. You were adopting it, but it's okay. All right. Councillor Groves?
I just need some clarification because it doesn't really tell me a whole lot on 2019-66. What that is all about.
That was the zoning that came through in the... I'll get Ms. Tullett to explain.
Through you, Chair, to Mayor Thompson, to Councillor Groves, that was the approval for the 50 Ann Street project to move forward. So it's the approval for the zoning change.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. No further questions? All in favor? Carried. Okay. Now we'll move to presentations. I will call upon Doris Cooper and Shahzad Banduka. I hope I got it right. Please approach the podium. And the presentation will be on the Peel Poverty Reduction Strategy. We'll hold questions till after they make their presentation, and the procedure bylaw is you have 10 minutes. Welcome. Glad to have you here.
Good evening, Mayor Thompson and fellow councillors. It's nice to see familiar faces from when I did the presentation at Regional Council. My name is Doris Cooper. I'm a resident of Mississauga. I sit on the Mississauga Lakeshore Senior Council, on the Peel Poverty Reduction Strategy Committee. I'm on the ODSP Advisory Group for Mississauga, and I just recently joined the Peel Food Relief Network.
I'm Shahzad Banduka, Program Manager, Family Services of Peel. Good evening. Thank you for the opportunity to speak with you today. We're here on behalf of Peel Poverty Reduction Committee to highlight the newly refreshed 10-year Peel Poverty Reduction Strategy and to seek your endorsement and support for the 2018-2028 Peel Poverty Reduction Strategy. The PowerPoint is not correct. The Peel Poverty Reduction Committee was formed in 2008. It is co-chaired by the United Way of Greater Toronto and the Region of Peel. As you can see on the slide, we have representation from various organizations, people with lived experience, and poverty reduction advocates.
This visual shows some of the activities and milestones that the committee has accomplished since 2012 when the strategy was first launched. A couple of examples include the Peel Food Charter. The Peel Food Charter articulates Peel's commitment to creating a food secure community. We also accomplished the Affordable Transit Program. We played a role in advocating for the affordable transit in Peel, which resulted in a permanent affordable program in Brampton and Mississauga. This slide shows our vision and our mission. The vision is that the region of Peel is a livable community for all individuals and families. The mission is to create a Peel community where everyone works together to build a poverty-free future.
So why is this work important? Poverty is complex and continues to impact many Peel residents. According to the 2016 census results, more than 175,980 individuals and families experience poverty in Caledon, Mississauga, and Brampton, which is 12.8%. Also, 16% of racialized communities lived in poverty in 2016. Cost of housing and food continues to rise.
The committee believes that central to addressing poverty is an acknowledgement that core needs are human rights. This statement is aspirational and was created by the committee during the process of updating the strategy. It says that access to safe, affordable, and accessible housing, access to affordable and accessible transportation, access to sufficient, affordable, and nutritious food, access to health care and education are basic human rights. We acknowledge that systemic barriers and discrimination can cause marginalized, racialized, immigrant, and newcomer communities to be disproportionately affected by poverty. We must work together as a community if poverty is to be eliminated in Peel.
The poverty strategy is a place to show the connection between all of the issues that impact people who struggle in our community and the importance of these issues. The strategy will intentionally focus on three priority areas over the next 10 years: income security, economic opportunity, well-being, and social inclusion. Under well-being and social inclusion, we will focus on housing, childcare, transportation, food security. This slide shows our goals for the next 10 years. Equitable and inclusive access to income that results in adequate income security for Peel residents. Stable, non-precarious employment opportunities. Reduced systemic barriers, including inequitable access to stable, non-precarious employment and good quality education for marginalized and equity-seeking groups. Equitable and inclusive access to essential supports and services that meet the needs of Peel residents and their human rights. The strategy includes 25 outcomes and 31 strategic actions. We will collectively work on them over the next decade to accomplish these outcomes.
The strategy was presented at Regional Council in May of 2018. Council unanimously endorsed the strategy and recommended we present it at the area municipality councils, including the Town of Caledon. The 2018-2028 Peel Poverty Reduction Strategy was officially relaunched in September of 2018. It was presented at Mississauga and Brampton Councils, which leads us here to saving the best for last. Our next steps include implementing the 2019 priorities. An example of that is to include the launch of the Peel Food Action Council. We look forward to having your support as we implement the strategy. Reducing poverty requires all of us to play a role. We are committed to working with residents, organizations, and all levels of government to ensure no one is left behind. We thank council and staff for your ongoing support, and thank you so much for having us.
Thank you.
Thank you, and I have some questions here for you. Councillor Groves.
Mayor Thompson, I don't have any questions, but I'm going to ask that you allow me to make some comments. Thank you. First of all, thank you for coming in and doing your delegation. And as you said, regional staff supported this unanimously because we recognize the need to have access to affordable housing and transportation and food. One of the sad thing is, and I know that when I chaired the health committee at the region many years ago, we did do some work and some collected some data on the number of children that go hungry in Peel region. Mm-hmm. We're talking our own region. It was shocking to see that So I want to commend you on your continued advocacy, because these children and other folks, whether they're children or adults, having proper nutrition is extremely important. It's extremely important in their performance in school, in their self-confidence, in their self-esteem, because when they don't have that, it leads to other physical and mental issues and challenges for these students, and it creates a barrier or challenges for them to move forward and to progress. I can tell you that I have a family, and it's a friend of mine, and she's a single mom with three children living in one of our, in our only affordable housing complex in Bolton. And when she said to me, I go hungry at night and I drink water when I'm hungry because I have to make sure that the cereal or whatever we have there, my children eat. This is in our own backyard in Bolton. And I want to make it clear that, because there is a perception that we have no poor people in Gallatin, well, I'm going to tell you something. The community that I represent, we have a lot of people that are living below the poverty line. They are check to check and sometimes just can't afford to eat. So I want to thank you. I know that, and I sit on and I chair the Affordable Housing and Homelessness Committee at the region, and we're working very hard, very diligently, to come up with ways of finding incentives, mechanisms, whatever we need, working with the developers to make sure that we build these affordable housing. It is important for us to provide this to these folks, because we also have an increase in people that are living on the streets in Peel region. Very, very sad. So I want to thank you for your advocacy, your continued support, and everything that you do to ensure that all of our residents in Peel have access to all of these things. So thank you.
You're welcome.
Councillor Downey.
Thank you, Mayor Thompson, through you, and thank you, Doris, for coming. Thank you for coming tonight to speak to us and for sharing your presentation with the rest of our colleagues that didn't have the opportunity to hear it at the region. Whenever I think about this, the issue, I think about Maslow's theory or Maslow's hierarchy of needs, because if we don't have a roof over our heads and have our basic needs, we can't flourish in any other area. So I don't have any questions. I just want to say that you will continue to have my commitment to support programs regionally and at the town level that support your mandate, whether it be through housing or Families First programs, things that help with childcare, all of those things. You will continue to have my support there. So thank you for coming.
Thank you.
And, you know, I've worked on the committee in the past, and I'm going to tell you, congratulations. From what was originally from the very start when I was there to where you've got now, well done. And I mean, from all the different aspects. And what I have to say is the collaboration has remained strong and got stronger. And I think that's what's important. I just wish our media was still here to hear what you have to say, because I think you had some really good, hard data. And I think if you really gleaned down and told Caledon's story and Mississauga's story and Brampton's story, I really think that would maybe get the attention to make people aware of what's going on and taking care of our neighborhood. But thank you so much for being here. And I'll tell you, Caledon cares. Welcome to Caledon. Glad to have you here. You're welcome back anytime. But thank you for bringing the information forward. We really appreciate it.
Thank you for your time and consideration.
Thank you. Before you leave, I do have a motion, so you can watch us do this. Moved by Councillor Downey, second by Councillor Groves, that the 2018 to 2028 Peel Poverty Reduction Strategy be endorsed. All recorded vote, that's fair.
Thank you, Your Worship. A recorded vote has been called. And before I even ask everyone standing up, all those in favor, please stand. And I see all members of Council who are in attendance have stood.
Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. Now I'll call, I will now call upon Pamela Blay
to approach the podium. Presentation regarding the planning of the new Greater Toronto or Greater Golden Horseshoe, the GGH. Please hold questions till Ms. Blaze completed her presentation, and you have 10 minutes. Welcome.
Thank you very much.
Good to see you again.
Mr. Mayor. Okay, thank you. And members of council, thank you very much for the opportunity to present this key findings of this report. It's just for information. What the report does is it looks at the changing employment geography of the Greater Golden Horseshoe, how it's changing, why it's changing, what are some of the policy implications. This report was done in conjunction with the NEPTIS Foundation. I am the lead author on this report. It was originally intended to help municipalities as they updated their official plans to conform with the new growth plan, the amendments to the growth plan as it was revised and continues to be revised. So I will attempt to go through this very quickly. In terms of the research questions, again, it's really focused on the geography of employment. What we're trying to ask is what kinds of economic activities are growing, which ones are declining, where, in what locations, and within what kinds of urban environments. And the idea here is really a lot of the planning work around the housing side of things tends to be more straightforward. I think a lot of municipalities really have a good grip on that, but the employment side tends to be a bit trickier. So it was really just to try and help inform that work as it went forward. Obviously, this is fundamental to a lot of different areas, not only planning, but also municipal finance, where do we invest in the region, and so on. So I'm going to just take you through the shift that I see happening in the region in terms of where the jobs are, what's driving it, and outline an analytical tool that I've developed to help inform this planning policy and to understand what's going on, talk a bit about uncertainty and disruption, and then what this all means. So first of all, what I'm focusing on here is core employment. So I'm not talking about local services and local retail, employment for example, elementary schools. These are really just the kinds of jobs that are tradable outside of the region, and they drive the economy, and they actually shape the region as well. So the other kinds of employment really follow residential. These are the kinds of jobs that you can trade outside the region. There are about 2.4 million such jobs in the Greater Golden Horseshoe in 2016. And what I'm showing here is the actual location of the jobs themselves. In earlier work, we identified some key areas in the region, these employment megazones, which were suburban areas that had very large concentrations of employment, about 500,000 jobs between those three areas outlined in blue. And then you see the areas that are outlined in red. Those were areas we identified as concentrations of suburban knowledge-intensive employment. So these are areas that hadn't really been recognized before, thank you, in terms of the planning of the region. They hadn't really been recognized in the growth plan itself. Many of them cross municipal boundaries, so they make it a little harder to plan for. And what we found, and we looked at the change in core employment between 2006 and 2016, the blue dots represent an addition of 100 jobs, and the red dots represent a loss of 100 jobs during this period. So we're looking at a fairly detailed geography here. So what you can see is the main thing that really is dominant in this period is there's a hyper-concentration of employment growth in and around downtown Toronto. It's not showing up that well in this map, but it's a very, very dark blue area, and there's about 67,000 new core employment jobs that were added during that 10-year period just in and around downtown Toronto. And then you see this band of red that extends from Oshawa all the way across the inner suburbs of Toronto, south of the 407, down through Mississauga, south of the QEW, over to Hamilton, and in other parts, for example, of Kitchener. These are areas of net job loss. And then you also see at the new urban edge towards the north, north of 407, you see some growth in these kinds of jobs, so some more blue dots. So it's a very uneven pattern of development, and that pattern of development is becoming ever more uneven. So we see, for example, 2001 to 2011, the amount of employment growth between those suburban knowledge intensive districts and downtown was about even. By 2006 to 2016, there's a huge shift, and basically downtown Toronto was really gobbling up all those jobs. And I would add, in the last 2 years alone, there have been 50,000 new jobs added to downtown Toronto in a two-year period, which is just mind-boggling. So what is driving this? We spent a lot of time trying to understand this in terms of the drivers so that we can then make good policy recommendations at the end of the process. So really what's behind it is our regional economy is undergoing a shift to a transition and a transition to a knowledge economy. We have most of the growth taking place in high-skilled kinds of employment and skilled. The low-skilled, those are the kind of routine jobs, often in manufacturing and assembly line work. Routine office work are not growing very quickly, and unskilled jobs are also growing. And what happens is, as our economy moves more and more towards these skilled activities, those kinds of activities like to concentrate geographically in certain key areas, the ones I showed on the map already. And so we get more and more of this concentration. And then what also happens is the kinds of jobs that are distributed, those manufacturing jobs, for example, that are shown in red, they are the ones that are vulnerable and are in decline. So that is just reinforcing this concentration. So I came up with this idea of archetypes. And really this idea of archetypes is to try and make much better linkages between what's going on in the economy and what we see in terms of the geography of employment on the ground. Because some of the ways that we've been analyzing this in the past are not really that useful. We tend to look at very large categories. In the planning world, we look at it's either office or employment, land employment. And that doesn't tell you very much if you're a planner in Caledon about what kinds of employment uses you should be planning for, in what locations, of what kinds of environments we should be thinking about planning. So we try to identify different groups of industries that have different the same economic drivers on the one hand, and on the other hand, they have very similar spatial patterns. So you can make the link. If I have this kind of archetype, I can expect it to be in these kinds of locations. We have about 12 of these that are outlined in the report. I'm just going to take you very quickly through some of them here. Finance, you can see some of the different patterns. So hyper-concentration in the downtown, some suburban knowledge-intensive districts, soft tech, and at the bottom you see these are the number of jobs that exist in these industries in the Greater Golden Horseshoe as a whole. Back office employment, science-based activities, this includes R&D, they have more distribution in some of the outer areas in the suburban knowledge-intensive districts. Logistics very much oriented around transportation infrastructure, around the airport, for example, multimodal facilities, wholesaling, also in those megazone areas that I identified at the beginning. Hardtech is something that this is more the manufacturing of communications and technology and computer equipment and wholesaling thereof, very much a suburban phenomenon. Other manufacturing distributed across our employment areas. But I'm going to focus in a bit more on the shift that's been going on in the last 10 years and what are the patterns that we see here. So again, these are just a few, but we see some kinds of activities are really clustering in the downtown and losing employment elsewhere, so it's kind of concentrating. Finance, we see there's quite a bit of growth in the downtown, as well as some growth in those suburban knowledge-intensive areas. Soft tech, again, losing in some suburban areas, but concentrating very much in the downtown. A lot of the growth in the downtown is around soft tech. Back office is something that's also suburbanizing, where it's moving out. It's overall declining in jobs, but relocating out of the downtown and into other areas. It doesn't need to cluster, so that's a fairly scattered pattern of development. Science-based, you also see a little bit in the downtown around some of the research functions there, and then in the suburban knowledge-intensive districts. Logistics is something that's not really growing a lot in terms of employment, but we all know that it's growing as an industry, again, in mostly in and around the airport area. I see I'm going to run out of time in about 26 seconds. I have about another Continue 3 minutes
left.
Continue on.
We've got good data. Let's
okay.
You come this way.
Thank you.
You put up with us all night. We can put up.
It was my pleasure. Okay, so that's logistics. Other wholesaling is something that has been actually in decline. We've actually lost about 18,000 jobs. I think this has to do with technology making this function, this intermediate function of wholesaling. It's bypassing it basically through technology, though there is some growth you can see at the urban edge in just maybe that one area that actually borders on Caledon. Hard tech is also an area that's also been losing jobs dramatically, 22,000 jobs lost pretty much across the board with one exception you see there in northern Guelph. And other manufacturing, these are all the other kind of manufacturing industries. We've lost a staggering 130,000 jobs in other manufacturing in the region in the last 10 years, and this is widespread pretty much across the whole region with just a couple of little pockets here and there where that's not the case. The other thing that we looked at, given that we realized that this is a brand new world in terms of automation, things are really changing very quickly. Automation and other technologies are basically diffusing through all kinds of industries, so we think this is a really important thing for municipalities to be aware of, is the disruptive potential of automation. So we took some analysis and we mapped where are the jobs in the region that are most vulnerable to automation. So they're in the industries that have the highest percentage of jobs vulnerable. And so we've mapped those here. There's some 400,000 of them. These are mostly in manufacturing industries. One exception is in accommodation and food services, which is one industry that was found to also be on the high end of vulnerability. This has a different pattern because this really follows kind of population and other employment, but a lot of jobs. And we also looked at vulnerability to trade disruptions, which is a real thing, obviously. And we mapped where are the jobs in the industries that are most dependent on trade and therefore most vulnerable to trade disruptions. And then we looked at within individual municipalities, what percentage of jobs are in those most vulnerable categories. And you can see how they vary between municipalities. In both cases, Caledon looks to come out more or less in the middle of the pack in terms of vulnerability on both counts. And I will wrap up by simply saying, there's a lot of implications of this for a lot of different areas. Peel Region, I know, has actually commissioned a study that's looking at what are the implications on municipal finance of a lot of these kinds of issues like automation and so on. I think the main thing is that this is a different scenario that we're facing now. This is a major shift in the geography of employment. The uneven growth is really something that's being exacerbated. There's more uncertainty, more disruptive potential, and we're in an era of really rapid change. So what can we do about that? Well, at a very high level, I think one of the things is to know about it, to anticipate these kinds of changes, to understand why they're happening, understand what are the risks associated with it, but also what are the opportunities associated with it. The way we do forecasting really has to take these kinds of things into account. And the kind of forecasting we've often done in the past, which looks at backwards and just kind of extends trends, gently forwards, that's not really something that would be necessarily as useful today as it was even 10 years ago. The idea of these archetypes, again, they were really developed to help inform land use planning, so they can be used as an analytical tool to help municipalities to figure out, what kinds of jobs might I attract here? What would I have to do? What kind of urban environments would I have to create in order to do that? What kind of assets are there locally that we can use to attract different jobs in the different kinds of archetypes? So this is really something that is meant to inform official plans, to inform land use planning, so that it can help planners to plan the right kinds of urban environments in the right places. And of course, it also influences investment, particularly investment in infrastructure, transportation infrastructure, and also economic development strategies, I think, are something that are a lot more important to be integrated with those two things. We do a pretty good job of integrating land use and transportation. I think more and more it's going to be needed to bring in the economic development component to a kind of three-way strategy, place-based strategies at the regional and municipal and even district level. And I will leave it there. Thank you for the extra time.
That's okay, but the board's lit up here, so you have some questions. Councillor Downey.
Thank you, through Mayor Thompson. Thank you very much for your presentation and all of the data. I'm just wondering if you can, you had a slide on core employment numbers. I'm wondering if you have a breakout number for agriculture, or agriculture as in the value chain.
I do not. That was not identified as one of our key archetypes. There is data on that. It wasn't one of the key areas that we analyzed, though.
Okay, thank you. Do you have a number for tourism-related jobs?
I do not.
Thank you. And can you give me an example of other wholesaling?
That would be any wholesaling that wasn't included in the other archetypes that I identified. So it would be all wholesaling except wholesaling that was included in the hard tech archetype, and I think that would probably be the only other one that was manufacturing oriented. So yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, Councillor Sinclair.
Thank you. Yes, my question or area of interest surrounds governance, and you mentioned near the end of your report the GGH is one integrated regional economy, one regional labor market, and then go on in the next paragraph saying currently the GGH lacks a common regional perspective. Mm-hmm. And I think that's key in terms of going back to the Golden Report, and I thought that one of the key outcomes of that was the claim that the Greater Toronto Area is in competition for wealth and head offices and knowledge with all other Greater Toronto or Greater Metropolitan Areas in North America. And eventually, out of that, there was a recommendation to form something called the Greater Toronto Services Board. And I had the privilege of attending meetings in the transportation section of that for the region appeal. And I'd take the agenda down to the chair of the region, Emil Kolb, and the then head of civil service there, and say, okay, here's the agenda, guys. What message am I taking down to this meeting today? And the regents hated the Greater Toronto Services Board. They thought it was competition and pummeled the Harris government to get rid of it successfully. And in that transportation committee, we bought a railway. One of the railway companies wanted to get rid of a railway heading out of North Toronto all the way to Barrie. And so we were becoming effective at actually articulating a regional perspective before it was killed. And you had all the mayors for the Greater Toronto Area there. And it was really quite an exciting time. Previous to that, Hazel had her own GTA Mayor's Committee, and that certainly helped a lot. So do you have any thoughts on what kind of forum, the skirts of forum, we could have for the GTA? It's not going to be the Ministry of Municipal Affairs and Housing at all. They're actually poisoned for it. So that seems to me a key right there, is to form a large forum to help discussion.
Absolutely. Sorry, through you,
sure.
Mr. Mayor. Absolutely. It's absolutely essential. I think at this point any type of forum would be helpful because we don't have any kind of regular forum where people from the region and elected officials can get together to discuss issues that affect all of us. So I think the Vancouver example is a pretty good one. It's voluntary and it's collaborative, and the municipalities agree to get together and they agree to collaborate on certain issues of regional significance, including especially the transportation and transit network. And I think that's a really great example. But at this point, any kind of model would be better than what we have right now, which is nothing. So
yeah, we used to have the Greater Toronto GTA mayors and chairs.
Yes.
Previously, and it worked extremely well, just exactly with what you said. And yes, that's been very difficult to try to get that off the ground.
Yes.
Because we just can't get the province to engage with us. So something we got to keep working on.
Good.
But you're done. Yep. Councillor Early.
That's just great data. I can see, and to Councillor Sinclair's point, I mean, we really do need to keep on looking at forums and how we can utilize this data to sort of determine next steps right in communities. But I had a question about home-based businesses or home working. Is that tracked? Mm-hmm. You know, you mentioned back office and you mentioned trade, and you see so many more people becoming independent and working from their own home. And how is that tracked in all of the statistics?
Yes, there is data on that in the actual report. It's not in here. It's not really the focus of what we're doing. We're trying to show where the jobs that you can actually put on a map are. But that data is included in the report as well. Both work at home and employees without a usual place of work are categories that are growing. I think together they add up to about 500,000 in the region as a whole. So that would bring, when you add the core employment, population-related employment, work at home, and those without a usual place of work, then you get the total of somewhat around 4.2 million, I think, for the region as a whole. Both of those categories, employment without a usual place of work and work at home, are growing. They're actually growing fairly quickly. I think in the case of working without a usual place of work, so that would be a delivery man, for example, or couriers and people that just don't go to a usual desk every day, those types of jobs are increasing. The work at home is something, it is increasing, but it's not increasing as fast as people thought it would 10 years ago or 20 years ago. Mm. What's actually happening is that the more we have a knowledge-based economy, the more people actually want and need to physically congregate to do their work, which is why we see a lot of for a lot of the archetypes, there really is this hyper-concentration mm-hmm. of employment. So, mm-hmm.
And so we've, and other municipalities have had discussions about economical innovative hubs, which would tie into individuals that are perhaps starting their own entrepreneurial business, working from home, and needing mm-hmm. that cluster, right, to bank on. I guess I'm getting, you know, with a loss of 140,000 jobs in manufacturing, and that started in 2008, and it plummeted, and that's not going to come back. And, yeah. and, you know, they're moving out of the country, and they've probably got a lot of liaison individuals that are working from their home. I would think for Caledon, mm-hmm. it's an attractive place to be.
Yes, absolutely.
Where when you look at all the dots in Toronto, it's the finance industry, and it's those high-skilled individuals that want that lifestyle mm-hmm. of Toronto. I'm just trying to figure out where we would go here, but it's not for tonight, perhaps, but I just think mm-hmm. the data is really cool, and I think we need to continue working with it. But just was curious about the home-based piece, that's all.
I think one thing that is interesting is the kind of shared workplace idea, the WeWork idea, that is extremely popular mm-hmm. and growing very, very rapidly. So it is an office, but you know, shared, and that would be something that I think could be
agreed.
Very appealing.
Thank you.
Well, that's the questions there, but I got a couple for you, and I follow up with Councillor Early. The other one you have is on a lot of the new innovation and high-tech jobs coming in, and you look at the density cluster. Have you looked at that on how that ties together where the availability is of access to broadband?
because you look at the hubs and where that goes. Mm-hmm. That's the interesting thing. I know this is something that's desperate needed by all of Ontario, but that's something that I think you'd, if you look at that, I know where all the hot spots or the the pops are,
right?
And places of presence. That's where your density is.
Right. So we haven't related this to where the infrastructure is. I think part of what's driving this is an existing base of firms in those industries. And so I think a lot of these kinds of firms, they want to be where there is a critical mass of other firms, either in soft tech and related. So soft tech and finance, there's quite a dynamic thing going on there. So I think that's part of it. But I'm sure that the access to broadband and the high capacity is another element of
it. Well, I know we're doing a gap analysis, and we've been working. We're part of the SWIFT initiative, and how to link everything together is funny. If you look at the highest pops of presence, that's all your. That's where you got all the identification. That's where the red and the yellow is.
Right.
And it's interesting that I just wondered if you connected the two. I think you'd be really surprised if you put the overlay on. Boom.
I'd like to do that.
I think that's something we need to look at. The second thing that really catches me is not looking at the food sector, the agriculture and food sector. We have outpaced, we outpaced Chicago. Now we've outpaced New York. The Golden Horseshoe Farming Alliance has done that data. But I'm just saying, I think that's a large employer for Ontario. And I think that's something that we need to look at that we can't take for granted.
Right, absolutely. So food manufacturing would be included in manufacturing.
Right.
We haven't broken it out as a separate thing. It would be included. Agri-food, yes, that definitely would be.
Because it's getting vertically integrated just with the technology. Yep. It's just moving so fast. And I'm going to tell you, I think if you look at it now and with the new census coming out, it's going to be really interesting to see where that's going.
Yeah.
And I know when you were looking even at manufacturing, like Bolton, for example, and Caledon, we have a lot of manufacturing on a per capita basis, but it isn't big employment. It's, it's small businesses for anywhere from, 8 to 20 to 25 people max. But it's thriving well. But it's new. A lot of it's applied. It's manufacturing, but it's high technology being incorporated. So it's a new animal that's starting to grow, that's going to get quite interesting to where it goes.
Absolutely.
But thank you. I think it was interesting. So I think all of council really appreciate it. I know you went a little bit longer, but I think you had some good information to tell us, and look forward to working with you in the near future. So thank you so
thank
much
you
for
very
your delegation.
Much, Mr. Mayor.
And I know Dave Arbuckle would love to follow up with you on more of that.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Is there any correspondence that council wants to have brought forward? Councillor DeBoer?
Yes. It comes out of the DC discussion, which is 822,
can you turn your mic on there, Nick?
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I thought I had it. It's 8.2.2, and it's the comments from Humphreys Group with regards to DCs, and just ask staff to speak to them and whether that there's a program we talked about, CIP, and whether there is something there that could be presented to council for endorsement to look at something within the next 2 years to address that gap, because there's some good points in the letter, and I think there's some good points that I've had made to me, and I think that was a discussion that we were having earlier.
Okay. Councillor Sinclair.
Well, along the same lines, I guess, as correspondence, 8.2.3, development charge background study from Candace Ward, and I don't understand her letter, and it seems to mention things, for example, manners of Bell Fountain, and they talk about, I guess, that DC credits for the suburbanization of Shaw's Creek Road will be included in the development agreement, and then it says acknowledged. Well, acknowledged. Who's acknowledging what? And it goes on like that for several different projects in the town. And I guess I'm worried, is this a cost to the taxpayer of the town, what's being asked for here? How do I understand this?
Ms. Hare?
So through the mayor to Councillor Sinclair, there was some correspondence included in the DC background study report that went to committee that had all the letters back and forth between the town and the developers and their consultants. So what you'll find is you'll find our original letter responding to the original letter from Candace Ward, and that it will likely answer your questions. They've then sent another letter with additional inquiries, which we have drafted a response to, and we can include that in another correspondence package in the next council meeting.
So are these claims legitimate?
So what they're trying to confirm is any of their developments that are happening in the next couple of years, they want to make sure that if there's any work that the town is requiring of them as part of their subdivision agreement, that if it's in the DC background study, that they get credits for it. So we can have developers do work the town could also undertake. So sometimes it might be more efficient to have a developer do that, and we can then provide them the development charge credits as they bring in their building permits to give them the credit for doing that work. So it's a standard practice.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Okay. There's no further correspondence. I will move on to announcements. Councillor Innes, do you have any announcements as acting mayor? Anybody over here for announcements? Mr. Rosa.
June is Italian Heritage Month in Canada, so we are launching Italian Heritage Month on Saturday in Bolton in partnership with the Jesse Tree Fine Foods food distributor and the Italian Cultural Center of Bolton. At 2 p.m. there is a big festival happening at 87 Simpson Road, starting from 2 to 8 p.m. You're welcome to join us.
Awesome. Anybody on this side? Councillor Groves.
We also have the opening of the Farmers Market, Bolton Farmers Market, so I encourage you to come out and support the Farmers Market as well. We also have the opening of the Challenger Baseball Group, so we should get out there and show support to those individuals as well. There was one other thing. One of the schools, Pope John Paul, St. John Paul. They're having their annual fundraiser event on Friday from 3:30 to 8 p.m. Go out and support them as well. On Friday evening as well, there is St. Michael's is having Friday Night Lights, and that's in support of Francesco Molinaro. Proceeds from that fundraiser will be going to Chez Place.
Okay. Councillor Kiernan.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I just want to bring to the attention of everyone that the Caledon Fair is coming. Saturday, June 8th is the grand opening at the agricultural lands in Caledon Village on Highway 10, and it's always a great time. It's, I think it's probably the oldest, the Agricultural Society is probably the oldest society of that type in all of Caledon, right? Yeah, I think it is. Anyway, it's a great time. Everybody come out to the fair, and Friday night's the truck pull or something. It should be fun, good fun. Come on out to the truck pull. And then Saturday and Sunday is the fair with rides and all sorts of fun fair things.
Okay. I would like to acknowledge the following proclamations. June is Recreation Parks Month, Seniors Month, Italian Heritage Month, National Deaf and Blind Awareness Month. May 26th to June 1st is Tourism Week. 27th to June 2nd is National Accessibility Week. May 30th is World MS Day. June 3rd to the 9th is Parachute Safe Kids Week. And June 3rd to June 9th, Councillor Groves, you like this, is Local Food Week.
So it's really fitting with the farmer's market. So anyway, that's some of the good news that we have to share. Moving on to council inquiries. Councillor Innes, I'll start with you again as acting mayor. You have none? If not, is there anybody over here? Councillor St. Clair? Okay. You're on.
Yes, sir. I have a bunch. Had a query. What is the status of the Caledon Traffic Calming Initiative? Could we get a progress report on that? I've had a sense that the transit studies and so on took over on that. So I'd like to know where that's at. Perhaps we could get a memo to council on that.
Mr. Wong?
Through Mayor Thompson, I believe Mr. Chan has been at the coffees with councils with information about the traffic calming and obtaining information. We can prepare a memo, but it probably would be better once we finish that study to present to council the results of what we found.
When do we think we'll have that ready for council?
I'll have to check with Mr.
Okay.
Chan.
All right. Fair enough.
Would it be possible to have council see a copy in a draft form?
Mr. Wong?
Mayor Thompson, I believe I have to look at the terms of reference on this. My understanding is that we generally provide council an update as to what we found, what we have found, and what we're recommending before we take it to the public, and then we come back to council with our final recommendations. That is our standard practice.
Okay. Mr. St. Clair, anything else?
Yes. What is the status of the Caledon Fill Bylaw Review? Can we get a chronology and a status of that? I thought there was a one-year moratorium on issuing permits, possibly extended, and then I lost total track of it.
Yeah. I'll ask the clerk.
Thank you, Your Worship. Through Councillor Sinclair, that is on the work plan for 2019, but I can follow up and give you the chronology of that plan.
Okay. It's gone on for some years, and I think we need to get a control of that. I had a request regarding public information meetings, all placed in front of planning committee meetings, which seems to, if there's a long public information meeting, it pushes the planning discussions into long nights. And I notice we've got three public information meetings for June 18th, including Manners of Bell Fountain, which will be really well populated. So I was going to request that that planning committee be moved to some other day. Or if you're going to have heavy public information meetings, they be held on Wednesdays rather than Tuesdays when we have other meetings.
Ms. Tollett?
So through you, Mayor Thompson, the notification has already gone out for public for these meetings, and they've already confirmed the dates, so I don't think we can change at this point. But I'll look to the clerk. I don't know if there's anything we can change because notification's gone out.
Well,
normally the maximum we would have is three meetings anyhow.
Notifications have gone out for the public information meetings, but no one knows what's on the agenda for the planning committee, so it could be shifted if necessary. Anyway, we need to look at that. It's not really efficient in terms of good discussion. Inquiry number four. Some years ago, the proceeds from the Caledon Golf Tournament were allocated to the Alton Village streetscape and community amenities. What's happened to the funds?
Who wants to answer?
I did have a chance to speak to Kevin Hayashi, and they're working on gathering up all that information. So they will be presenting a report, or he will be presenting a report once he gathers all the information up from actually all of the recipients and getting updates. So I was talking to him this evening or earlier on today about that exact topic, and that specific one did come up too as part of the conversation.
Okay, so something's forthcoming. Good. I visited the Alton Skateboard BMX course construction site up at Alton, down behind the Ball Diamond. And I, having been a design build landscape contractor, I'll tell you, this construction site is very rough. There's tools scattered about, woody and rocky debris carelessly thrown around, shoved off, just off course. So I wondered, it looks to me as if something's going quite wrong there. And there's quite a number of pieces of equipment, a lot of it not the most appropriate for the jobs. So I wondered if we could get a status of the contract. Is it on time, on budget, and is the work according to specifications?
Through you, Mayor Thompson, to Councilor Sinclair, I'll follow up with staff, but that project was done in basically two phases. One phase was supposed to be the asphalt, and the other phase would be the rest of the track. So I'll follow up with staff and follow up with an email to the council.
I can't tell what phase they're at. I mean, there's real rough debris immediately beside the course. I don't know how this is going to be recovered and make a pleasant place. Last inquiry regards the Alton Old School and the suggested uses from the architect's study, and the community seem to have no business cases associated with them. And in order to justify the capital and operating expenses. And I was wondering if we could have some economic development staff explore the possibility of hiring a commercial real estate agent to find a tenant for which the town would renovate to suit. In other words, a paying customer. And as Mayor Thompson mentioned at the last committee meeting, the building just can't sit around. So if we want to save this historic artifact, I think we need to get step up to the plate and do something a bit differently. So that's my request. Thank you.
Mr. Arbuckle?
So through you, Mayor Thompson, to Councillor Sinclair. So since the meeting last week, we have been in discussions with the school board. They're currently putting a report together for their board to for debate and discussion. The direction currently out of the recommendation is that we continue to work with the school board in relation to funding opportunities. So that's our commitment at that end. And ultimately, if there is a funding opportunity to cover the costs in relation to the capital work that's done there, we certainly would do some work in relation to securing tenants for that proposed use.
Well, you know, the discussion was if we could lease it for a toonie a year from the school board. It's a free structure on land we don't have to buy. So solving the renovation of the interior renovation and sewage system, say $1.5 million, pretty good deal. Thank you.
Councilor Rosa?
Just looking for an update on the Bolton Fire Station. When I asked this question a couple months ago, I was told that May was definitely going to be the opening. And I said, it may open or will it open in May? So yeah. I just need to figure out where we are with that, because I'm getting a lot of questions around what's happening and when a scheduled grand opening or when will it be fully operational is happening, because it doesn't look like May is happening.
Mr. Waugh?
Thank you, Mayor Thompson. I actually have an email queued up to go. Basically, construction will be completed by the end of May. There were, due to the long winter, we have some outstanding exterior works, two in particular, the concrete apron and some asphalt works. Only the concrete apron will basically delay our completion, because the concrete apron will interfere with fire and emergency operations. We anticipate that concrete apron to be done, I believe, June the 7th, and it needs about 7 days for the concrete to cure. So basically, fire and emergency services can move in anytime after June the 15th. And then the public will see some minor asphalt work after that, but that will not interfere with operations.
Thank you.
It's just Mother Nature has not been most cooperative this month, and everything's saturated, so it's just delayed
you know, it's just delayed getting the thing done. That's where we, Mother Nature has not been kind.
No, any other? Councillor Groves.
Thank you. I have three. Two of them relating to, I guess, downtown Bolton. I had put forward a motion to look at the vacancy rates or the vacant buildings in downtown, and I think you were going to come back with something, and I can't remember the date or what month. So,
Ms. Hare?
This one's mine.
Oh, this one's
so
David.
Deep.
Thank you.
That's yours.
I know.
Okay,
I thought it was two questions
money.
In the meeting.
Yeah.
What's happening here today. Through you, Mayor Thompson, Councillor Groves. So the suggestion was that ultimately through the economic development strategy, because we're going to be looking at downtown core revitalizations as part of that strategy, that vacancy piece would be part of that analysis that would be done by the consultant for the economic development strategy.
So do we have a timeline?
Yeah, so through you, Mayor Thompson. So currently, actually, I'm going to have to check specifically. I think late last week, the actual RFP for the consultant went out for the economic development strategy. So that'll be out for a couple weeks, and then we'll do the procurement process or the selection process for that procurement. We're actually bringing a memo forward to the next. The plan is to bring the memo to the next council in relation to what is going to be covered specifically within that economic development strategy.
Perfect. Thank you. And following on that, I did send an email because I had spoken to one of our residents who has been quite involved with some of the stuff downtown, and he had suggested a committee, sort of a revitalization committee. So will that be part of this whole economic development strategy for downtown?
Through you, Mayor Thompson, to Councillor Groves. So economic development staff did meet with that individual. Ultimately, within the strategy itself, I'm not sure whether we will be bringing that forward as part of the memo. There may be a suggestion out of the work done by the consultant and by staff as we bring the economic development strategy forward to have a committee or some sort of piece within that. Right now, for us, at least from a staff perspective, it's our plan to do a specific consultation with the downtown core, so the village associations, as well as the BIA and other interested parties within the Bolton downtown core, to get their feedback in relation to what is needed from both a policy and infrastructure, all those pieces,
right.
Get some feedback from them as part of the economic development strategy discussion.
Okay, perfect. Thank you. And my other one is related to the Queen Street Corridor study, which we started a few years ago. Some of the challenges that we have along the Queen Street Corridor, and I did ask for this at one of our discussion, is the flexibility on the zoning on the properties along the Queen Street Corridor, because it's making it very difficult, challenging, expensive for folks who want to come in and start looking at some of the older properties there to revitalize or improve those properties. The zoning that we have in place right now, there is no flexibility on that, and I just wondered where that is in terms of...
Through Mayor Thompson to Councillor Groves. So there was a memo provided to Council just on this agenda that talked about, last week's planning agenda that talked about an update on the Queen Street study, because the Queen Street study is formulating policies as part of the OP. After the OP is done, then you do a zoning bylaw review. But I can certainly take those comments back, because we're doing kind of a cleanup on our zoning bylaw in the fall on a couple of high-level issues, and I can add that into that piece.
Yeah, that would be great, because I know we have some investors who have purchased some of the existing properties and they would like to move forward. And certainly I, myself and Councillor Rosa, along with the mayor, would like to help them move forward in the least cumbersome ways and that. So I'll look forward to that. Thank you.
Okay. If there's nothing further, I will now go on to bylaws, moved by Councillor Rosa, second by Councillor Sinclair, that bylaws be read the first time and finally passed. Bylaw 2019-29, the bylaw amended to amend the bylaw 2019-003, the bylaw to appoint alternate member to the Regional Council in the event of absence of the Caledon Regional Councillor meetings at the Regional Council. Bylaw 2019-30, bylaw to provide the levy collection and property taxes for the taxation year 2019. Bylaw 2019-32, the bylaw to amend the comprehensive zoning amended to lot 62, lots 52, 53, 61, 63 on Slancy Street, closed by law 2004-204 and PR 786962, Park Temperance Street, closed by law 2004-204 as PR 786962. Block plan being as parts 1, 2, and 3 of 43R371-72. Subject easement over parts 1, 2, and 3 of 43, 437172 and PR 2546402. Subject easement in gross part of part 2 on 43R37172 and PR 232-3542, Town of Caledon Region Municipality Appeal, 50 Ann Street. All in favor? Carried. Moved by Councillor Kiernan, second by Councillor Downey. The following bylaw be read the first time and finally passed. Bylaw 2019-31, bylaw to impose, approve, provide payment of development charges for municipal service in the Town of Caledon. All in favor? Carried. Moved by Councillor Rosas, second by Councillor Sinclair. The following bylaw be read the first time and finally passed. Bylaw 2019-33, bylaw to confirm the proceedings of the Council of the Corporation of the Town of Caledon as its council meeting held the 28th day of May, 2019. All in favor? Carried. Councillor Early, do you want to move adjournment? All in favor.
Thank you, everybody.
Peggy's going to try to keep us out of trouble tomorrow.